Club. You're now entering the corking room. This is where the final step in the bottling process happens, where we prepare all the corks for all the bottles of Brunello that you saw earlier.
This is PFW in progress.
I've always actually wondered about that. How do you cork the bottles?
Excellent question, my Bella. As you can see, we are soaking all the corks in this room right now.
PFW in progress.
These three guys right here are some of the most talented cork soakers. Say hello, you old cork soakers.
With Fred Kirsch.
Now, I'm curious, how does one become a cork soaker?
As we like it to say, cork soakers are born, not made.
Paul Perillo.
Luigi here was simply born to soak cork.
I love soaking a cork. I could soak a cork all the night long if they let me.
And Andy. And Andy?
So, are all corks the same?
Oh, no. I like to soak the big, thick cork.
Andy Hart.
The great thing about the cork soaking is that while you are soaking the cork, you can also massage at the grapes.
The Sheriff, Tom Casale.
Could you teach me how to soak cork?
You know, when are you walking in here, I could have sworn you're already an expert cork soaker.
Yeah.
And you never know who else might stop by.
Thank you. I dabbled in college.
PFW in progress.
Do you ever run out of corks to soak?
This one vintage was unusually large, and I thought Giuseppe would need the extra corks.
And I thought Marcello would need more corks.
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
So we soaked each other's corks at the same time.
All right, welcome to PFW in progress. Fred Kirsch, Andy, Tom, Paul, Gary's in the booth. We're all here. It's Wednesday, media day. That means, of course, pizza.
Yes, indeed.
And it means that we're looking past the Redskins, and we're getting ready for a big game. And, of course, I'm talking about the Revolution coming up.
That means it's Wednesday?
Everyone's just looking at
When me. Is the Revolution? They have a game?
They got a game, yeah. They got a playoff game.
When still playing?
This is the year they're going to win it all.
I hope it is, Fred.
This is the year they
really
lose the finals again.
It's Boston. I mean, it's the Red Sox, Revolution, Patriots.
BC.
Beyond that, I hope they do because they've been so close.
Yeah.
And obviously there's a lot of people that work for both organizations. We happen not to be a part of that. But I'm rooting for them, even though I don't like soccer and I don't know anything about the game.
Okay.
I'm rooting for the Revs.
So who are they playing? Is it here?
I don't know. I think it is here.
Well, not the final. You mean the regular
playoffs? No, I know, but whatever game they're getting ready to play.
How do they usually do those? Like two out of threes and the first game is on the road and the other two are at home?
It's weird. The first
best goals against two.
Aggregate goals.
Yeah. Thanks for the joke, Fred.
It's like a best aggregate goals after two games.
It wasn't funny. Now we're talking about soccer.
Anyway,
boy, I promise Brad Feldman.
He gets so cranky when you just, you know, if it's not football.
You don't need a win there. He gets so cranky all the time.
What's wrong with your voice?
I don't know.
Anyway,
I didn't notice anything.
Webradio@patriots.com is
Gary's
the email
not in
address.
There, so he can't fix
Webradio@patriots.com. By the way, I downloaded yesterday's PFW Progress to my iPod.
Couldn't hear anything.
No, I had no problem. In fact, I could only go like a third of the way because after that it was too loud. So
is this going to be another one of those problems that you're going to claim doesn't exist?
No, I don't know. I don't know. They asked me to download one just to see if I. Now, this was yesterday. Maybe
he
earlier
fixed it yesterday.
Yeah, maybe earlier ones have a problem. So. I had no problem with the volume. If anything, it was too loud. All right. We got a lot to talk about today. Let's start off with Bill Belichick's press conference.
Back in form today.
Oh, yeah.
Back in Wednesday form. Last week, Andy made the comment, and I think he was right. It seemed like he had a hard time coming up with complimentary phrases about the Miami Dolphins.
He was right in having a hard time doing it.
He had no such trouble today with the Washington Redskins. Fred, we're doomed. There's no way we can win this game.
The reason Jason Campbell only has 5 touchdowns and hasn't thrown one yet to a wide receiver is because he probably has a hard time deciding which guy to throw to. That's what he said.
Which is a reason that my son Will would come up with. Probably stuck in the tree.
But isn't that a bad thing for a quarterback to be indecisive?
Not according to Bill, because Campbell's done a nice job for them. Accurate, despite not completing 60% of his passes. Mobile, he's really a 6 receiver.
Talked about how mobile he was, yet Rodney Harrison said that he doesn't really run too much.
Well,
they might want to get more on the same page.
Bill spun out of control praising them.
They do have a very good defense. No, Fred, listen, Washington is a more talented team than a lot of these other ones that we've been talking about the last few weeks. They definitely have a good defense, but he was using superlatives for an offensive line that is completely beat up. and talking about guys like Todd Wade as quality, you know, veterans. Todd Wade is a never been, you know, let alone a has been.
And he talked about the fact they're 4-2, have had five games that basically came down to the last play, so they could be better. Well, or they could be 1-5 or whatever. I mean,
right.
He was over the top today.
I think today was a lesson for those players that still don't understand how to pump up an opponent. Listen to my press conference this morning, and I'll show you how to do it.
And there was also, when we got in the locker room, all the players that, well, I should say the five players that were in there were yelling the Denny Green, crown their asses. They were who we thought they were. And my guess is for all the players to be saying that, it was in some part of a team meeting, or Bill must have used that for something.
Who were they crowning? The Redskins?
I don't know the context, but the players regurgitate what Bill gives them.
Right.
It was a weird thing. Ellis Hobbs was saying it. Lee Kievan-Smith walked by. He was saying it. Marcellus Rivers was sitting in front of his locker. He was saying
Bam
it.
Bam Childress.
It just seemed like there were too many people, you know, all of a sudden breaking out into they were who we thought they were. If you want to crown them, you know, it just was oddly
timed.
But
we don't know who they were talking about.
Or why.
Very interesting.
It was a good locker room today. There was a lot of stuff going on.
Okay, so let's move on from anything else that Bill said. That
no, Bill, like I just said, you know, I think
going back to the 40s,
closer to his normal, overly complimentary style in terms of the upcoming opponent. And I think this is an obvious respect for Joe Gibbs that you know anybody would be a fool not to have.
And it's a battle this week of those two coaches doing that. I told you the quotes from Joe Gibbs yesterday saying we're going to be the biggest underdog in the history of football and we're going to struggle hard against them. So they're going back and forth. Although, you know, Gibbs is sort of being honest.
Right.
Bill's making stuff up on the fly. That's how Jason Campbell ended up as Michael Vick in that press conference.
Yeah, in the locker room, though.
Kills dogs?
In the locker
that's
room.
That's a fair. I got to give him
good,
credit.
That
that's fair.
That's a good line. It's a good line. If I had said that, you probably would have come back at me with that.
With what?
What, he kills dogs?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's something that
was
Andy
fair
Hart,
for Fred.
Things, you know, that would be $25,000 pyramid, things Andy Hart would say. That. Tom's just completely lost interest, even though now we are talking about the Patriots. He's flicking his water cap.
We're past the Cowboys.
Tom,
the season's over.
Oh yeah, I'm a little under the weather, but I'm okay.
Oh, yeah, kind of under the weather. Oh, I know.
Oh, you had that.
You
flu
got a flu shot and got the flu.
Yeah, I got a flu shot. Now I'm sick. Only me.
But there was a kind of a, I don't want to call it a controversy, but a budding story here, Fred, with Adalys Thomas.
And we will have the audio at some point in the show.
Ray Lewis?
Yeah.
Tell us about
and we
that.
Do have the we do have
your
the
eyes?
Audio. Gary's getting that ready.
So when you read things like this.
Oh, that we have the Ray Lewis.
That's the Ray Lewis. Ray Lewis has, I guess, his own radio show in Baltimore. Very critical, first, of his head coach in the decision, Baltimore's decision to, on 2nd-and-1, 3rd-and-1, and 4th-and-1, throw the ball each time. He said that it was bad play calling. We would welcome that as a defense here in Baltimore if someone tried to do that against us. Went on to say earlier in the year we did the same thing against Cincinnati and it cost us then. Very critical.
Billick has since responded and agreed with him, by the way.
But maybe he's right.
Yeah.
Which is part of the problem. But we won't get into the Ravens' problems.
I'd be interested to know what the fans think about Adalys Thomas running his mouth, first of all, to SI that started this. It wasn't Ray Lewis. Whatever you think of Ray Lewis, he wasn't the one that came out and said anything about Adalys Thomas. It was Thomas who started this, talking about the Patriots way, and in the Patriots way, he ended up
not
being
the
contradicting
way.
Himself by saying things about Baltimore, a team they have to play.
That's
later
the most unpatriot part.
Yeah.
If he had said this in March, SI, after they won the Super Bowl,
that would be
Patriot way.
The Patriots way.
After you win it all, you go back and talk.
Stomp on
but
the
to
grave
do
after
this
you win.
Mid-season for an opponent that you have to face a month or so down the line, very unpatriot.
Well, for those listeners who don't know what he said, let's go on.
Well, in the Sports Illustrated that had Brady on the cover, Tom is absolutely right. This is how it started. Thomas had a quote in that story after the Dallas game saying that, in Baltimore, it was a star-studded system. I'm paraphrasing here. I don't have the quote in front of me.
A lot of chess beaters?
It was a star-studded system with a lot of chess beaters, including a lot of people that liked the limelight, that sought the limelight, including the head coach.
Well, we've always known that.
Okay, including the head coach. And went on to say, Fred, it's fine
there's
for you and I.
There's a lot of things for us to know and not say as Patriots.
No, I'm just saying it's fine for you and I to say it,
I know,
but it's a little different for a Patriots player to say it. And then he went on to say that, you know, it was a situation in Baltimore that the head coach fostered,
right,
more or less. You know, they sought the limelight, the head coach included. Here in New England, it's just about going about your business and we win, or something like that. Again, I'm paraphrasing, but that's the gist of what he said. Ray Lewis took exception to that, said that it was not about you have the Ray Lewis comment? Why don't we just let
you Ray don't Lewis become a Super Bowl champion in this business without having character and dignity for what you do for your teammates, okay? We won a Super Bowl without Adelius Thomas. The New England Patriots won 3 Super Bowls without Adelius Thomas. You're talking about a guy who we put in great talent. Great talent, don't ever get me wrong. But systematically, we had to fit him into our schemes. Now, is that discrediting AD? No. AD, we appreciate you. But when you go and you do your own thing, do your own thing. You got your money, you're with a new team. Be with your new team. But when you take a shot at men that you claim to love, to go to war with, I call those cowards. Because if you got something to say privately, you don't have to go to a newspaper. If you got something to say to a man, speak it. So when you read things like this, the things that hurt the most is you watch the years of Baltimore. Every time, no matter who it is that's been in this business, gets up, I get excited for my crowd. When I get up and pump, I'm telling my crowd, this is why I do this. So when you get up and now you find a guy like this want to speak, but he's the first guy to get up and not celebrate with his teammates, but just raise one hand in the air, then you got to ask yourself, who's looking for the limelight? You're talking about a guy who's been to 1 or 2 at Pro Bowls. I done been to 8. I can quadruple that.
All right, well, he started off good. He makes – no, what he says makes sense.
And I'll say something else. That.
Well, he ended with facts, so.
We're going to have Adelius Thomas's response here, and I want you to listen to something he says specifically about the system, which I think he has totally backwards. Ray Lewis says we had to fit him into our system, not that we had to fit our system around him, which is what Adelius Thomas – responds.
I can quadruple that.
I'll just start. Ray, I don't know if you're aware, Ray Lewis had some comments to comments you made, and I'm just curious if you have any comments to the comments that he made.
Holy comments.
A lot of comments.
First of all, about the quotes that was on me, I don't think I recall any of the conversation that I had. I don't think what I said came out that way. I mean, I could be totally wrong. But like I said, I was in a compliment of the Patriots. I never down the Ravens. Anybody that's seen me do an interview in 7 years knowing that my integrity isn't that. If I have something to say to somebody, then I say it. Nothing that I said was a compliment, a comment, or a shot at the Ravens. None of the players. Actually, I said I have a chance to play with Hall of Fame players. That was not in that quote. I went on to name names. Ray Lewis was one of the names that I named. That was one of the players that was great players. But the only problem I have is the coward comment. And, you know, to call me a coward, you got my phone number. You can call me, and I will call Ray, personally, myself. I'm going to sit here and go back and forth and make this a media frenzy as far as that goes. I'm bigger than that. I'm better than that. But as far as calling me a coward, I think that goes to something personal. I don't like it. I will address that with him personally, myself. But, you know, to attack my integrity as far as that goes and say that you had to make a scheme up for me, I didn't know they made up outside linebacker for me. I really didn't know that. I know that you needed a big, you was crying about a big guy in the middle so you could keep blockers off of you. I mean, I don't know if that's a scheme that's made for you or not. But as far as that goes, you know, then you want to criticize your head coach, talk about a coward. You can go right upstairs and talk to him like a man, just like you talking about me. And so as far as that goes, you know, I'm just here to play football. I'm worried about the Redskins. Ray Lewis means nothing to me as far as his comments. Anything else that he says, I love him like a brother. Other than that, you know, as far as me being a coward, that's, you know, like I said, I felt like that was a personal shot. That's the only problem that I have with
him. Eddie, why do you think Ray called you a coward?
You had to ask him that. You know, and I'll ask him that again. I'll call him personally myself, and I'll talk to Ray. Again, you know, it's a lot of things that could be said right now, but none of them can really be solved with trying to go back and forth. With, you know, he said, she said, you know, if I have something to say, anybody that knows me, I don't hold my tongue for nobody. If I got something to say to Ray, I say it to Ray. I say it to anybody else that's out there. But I'm not here to go back and forth with he said, she said, or try to throw a quote at somebody that's indirectly, because it was a misquote with Bart Scott in the paper. I picked the phone up. I called Bart. Mm-hmm. Talked to Bart. Bart said, man, that's not how it came out. And that's how you solve that. You pick the phone. If you think I took a shot at you, pick the phone up and call me. Because at no point when I did the interview did I ever try to take a shot at anybody at Baltimore or any of the players. I have friends there.
Eddie, do you want to clip the record? What were you trying to say, Eddie? Do you want to clip the record? What were you trying to say?
Only thing I tried to say was, I said it's different. It's different here than it was there. I said that I played with Hall of Fame guys on both sides of the ball, and I named players from both sides, and that's what I said. I said the superstars that were there were everyday household names. From Randall Cunningham, Deion Sanders, those are everyday household names. That's what I said, and that got cut out some kind of way. So.
All right. Well, good job on Gary and gathering that audio for us.
Dan the man.
I think Adalis Thomas.
That's the guy we rip on the show. Mini Dan? Gary. Dan right. the man.
That's Dan the man.
We found something he's good at.
Good job, right. Dan. And he's in there pointing at himself, taking a bit.
I think his arm just broke, patting himself on the back.
But anyway,
quadruple that.
I think that I don't know what Adalis Thomas. I didn't read the article in SI, and I don't know what else he said that didn't get used. But what he said, I'm sure he said it. And it was a shot at Baltimore.
And you know what? I think you're right, Fred, because he didn't say he didn't say it.
No.
He said something like, I may be wrong about that.
Yeah, I think
if he didn't say it, he gave himself
a fallback right. in his fallback.
If he didn't say it, he would have said that.
He didn't have to say what he said about his ex-teammates to say what he wanted to say about the Patriots.
Right.
So he kind of screwed up there. Then I think what Ray Lewis said was right to begin with, but then I think he went a little too far. And then I think Adalis addressing it, I think, was the wrong thing. I think
when part of his statement is, I'm not going to get back and forth in the media.
Right.
I'll call him myself. Well, you're doing that right now. You're saying it.
Plus, it went on like 5 minutes longer.
Right. Plus, you had to throw your little cheap shot in, which is a fact, but you
call
didn't have a big guy in front of him, and he was complaining.
Right.
But like I said, that whole thing, and I totally agree with the criticism of Ray Lewis about the system, is totally accurate in my mind. He cried about that 3-4 thing because he...
Right,
in my mind,
true,
because he
right.
lost his protection.
But,
right.
but they're both doing what they say they don't do, which is talk through the media.
But Adalis Thomas claimed that Lewis said that they had to tailor this whole system for him.
He didn't say that.
No, that's not what he said. He said that they had to put him into the system.
Right.
Just like, in other words, just like anybody else.
Right.
Sounds to me that Thomas brought a little bit of the Ravens with him to the Patriots.
Right.
And still got that Baltimore
so
mentality.
I think the two brothers who love each other are going to have to get on the phone.
Right.
And
I don't care about
I'm
Ray
not sure
Lewis.
Ray Lewis is even pretending he still loves Adalis Thomas. Thomas might still be pretending he loves Ray Lewis.
I also like Thomas saying, I don't really care. I don't care at all about Ray Lewis. I love him like a brother.
Right.
But I don't, you know, those two things can't really be the same.
But I don't
I think can
Ray
quadruple
Lewis
that.
Is even pretending to even
no.
care about. Add some spice to the Monday night game.
And
well, the best
also,
part is, now we do this week.
Unfortunately,
the Redskins down week.
Side of the ball, so I mean.
Well, it's going to turn out like it won't lead to anything.
No,
Adalis Thomas won't speak that week at all,
except because Baltimore stinks and they're going to get blown out. Anyway.
All right, Gary's going to have a conniption fit in there because we have John from Palm Bay on the phone. John, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Good. Sorry to make you wait, but we wanted to get that piece of content out there.
Hey, I have a quick comment about since I saw the Patriots and the Colts this week. I went to the game down in Miami, and I went back up to Jacksonville to watch the Colts play. They look pretty evenly matched. The only thing I say about the Patriots is their offense looks a little bit better than Indianapolis right now, and their defense looks pretty much the same, but we definitely need Seymour in there to help us with the run.
That's I was thinking about that today, John. Will Seymour start practicing this week?
My guess is yes.
Sounds like today.
We should get an update from Eric on the way in from practice, but yeah, Mike Reese asked him, and Bill was sort of coyly answered.
So if he does, I hold him out of this game, and I get him in and have him play against the Colts. No?
All depends on how healthy he is. I mean, that sounds like a good plan to me, but if he's healthy enough to play this week, I play him this week.
Thanks for the call, John. That's John in Palm Bay. I think it's a good point. You know, I think Seymour against the Colts is definitely something that
I don't know
Patriots
if you want his
use.
First game back to be against the Colts.
Right.
I just don't know.
Well, that's
how,
why I say if he's healthy enough to play
would,
this
I
week.
I wouldn't, Paul, if he's healthy, I'd play him this week, get him some reps in, so next week he's a little fresher. Yeah.
Get him used to recovering on the Monday from getting banged around a little bit.
Because the Colts play that hurry-up offense. You never
see, that's why
the dome, I'm sure they'll turn the heat up a lot in there.
But that's why I think Seymour is a valuable guy, because Seymour can play you know, if a lot of teams get dictated by the personnel that's on the field. Well, Seymour is not one of those players because he can play all three downs and he can play effectively against the run or the pass. And I don't think all other players are like that. I think that he's somewhat unique in that regard. If Indianapolis wants to say, okay, you're gonna take you know, you're gonna take Mike Wright and Vince Wilfork off the field, and you're gonna put in Jarvis Green and you know an extra linebacker. Okay, we'll run the ball. Well, you're not doing that with Richard Seymour because he's not coming off the field,
right.
So he can play either one. That's why I think he's a valuable guy. You know, and I know. Look, you know, everybody knows that I like
Patriots
Richard Seymour.
Thought he was a valuable guy too. That's why they handed him $30 million.
No, I know, but I think that his stats. You know, look, his numbers haven't. You know, I don't think his production was as high last year as it has been, and people are wondering, you know, they're 7-0 without him. How much do we really need this guy?
Well, I don't know. I've heard a lot of complaining about stopping the run in recent weeks and tackling up. Richard Seymour can help you out in that area rather than having Jarvis Green on the field. We know Jarvis Green
look,
is not in
I
terms
agree.
Of run
and I,
stopping.
And I think Jarvis Green is an excellent backup player. You know, at the
he's
risk
a nice
of,
little player.
I was going to say at the risk of offending anybody, I think he is what he is. He's a solid backup player. I think that the more he plays, the more you're going to notice the fact that Seymour's out.
Well, you think they'll move Seymour, like, say, a team against the Colts, they'll move him inside and put Thomas outside?
In sub packages? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Move him inside.
He
to
can
the...
play in the middle there, and then they bring the sub package in.
What did you think? You know, John said that the Patriots offense is probably playing a little better than the Colts offense at
the
this
Patriots
point.
Offense is playing a little bit better than any offense
I agree with
in
that,
history.
But I'm not so sure that both defenses are playing about the same.
I think they're playing pretty
what,
similar.
Who do you think is playing better?
I think the Colts might be playing a little better right now.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I think the Colts are improved from last year. I like the young guys that they brought in. They're, as Andy said on the thing on the TV show, that at least they have some talent. Those other shoemakers that Paul calls them that they used to have, they were just guys. But these guys seem to have a little bit of upside, a
yes.
little bit of talent.
I like Marlon Jackson.
Yeah, and Hayden. They're both physical guys. They seem to be athletic. Kiaho and at linebacker is better than Cato June, in my opinion.
Well, they're tackling well, and they're using a lot of speed.
But I don't know if I'm ready to say, well, they're better than the Patriots defense.
You see, I don't know.
And if that's the case, then this defense is a tremendous disappointment.
They haven't played the same opponents, so it's hard
and
to
the Colts,
judge.
But the Colts defense used to be up 42-7 a lot and kind of get lackadaisical and sloppy. I think it's part of that. Just being going in the locker room 42-7, I don't care if you're Bill Belichick or Vince Lombardi. Whatever you tell those guys, they know the game's over.
Right.
They
they're already
the
thinking
over.
What they're going to do post-game and, you know, who they're hanging out with post-game.
It's true. They're human. It's
right.
You know. All right. Well, you know, before we get to the Colts, which is it's hard to not overlook this game, but we've got this game against the Redskins coming up. And, of course, you know, Bill Belichick had a lot to say about the Redskins in a favorable way. But you have to say that of all the teams that the Patriots have played so far, the Redskins probably have the most talent
on defense. Yes,
I'm not
no
saying
question.
They have the best defensive team.
Well, they might have the best defensive team, too.
I think they have the best. It's the best defense they've played.
Yeah.
They have talent at all three levels.
Back there that can make
playmakers at all three levels.
I would be surprised to see the Patriots come out and put together, you know, I'm not saying to see them score in the first drive the way they have, but to put one of those, you know, the Patriots have the ball four times and it's, you know, 21-0. I'd be surprised to see that. Now, I think that at the end of the game, you're going to see the Patriots right around where they've been because I think that Redskins defense is going to spend an awful lot of time on the field Sunday. And I think as the second half comes on, I think they'll be worn down a little bit. But I would be surprised to see the Patriots just come out and do exactly what they've done to seemingly everybody else to Washington. I think Washington's a little better than that.
Yeah, and the thing like I want to see the most is that secondary. You know, when you used to watch those Buffalo Bill teams play, when they played like the Giants and Belichick, he would hit them. He would hit those receivers. Good defenses that played those Rams teams, Tony Dungy, would sit back. You know they're going to catch the ball, but he made you pay. And Greg Williams, Andy, is a disciple of Buddy Ryan, who did the same thing. He'd let you catch the ball, but those safeties and corners were going to kill you. So I want to see Wes Welker. I don't think he's been touched all year.
And he's not going to have that catch it at, you know, 5 yards downfield and then go 20.
Right.
No
I want to see
untouched.
I want to see what happens when Taylor and Landry and those guys, if they can lay the lumber and start ruining some of this rhythm. To me, that's the Redskins won't win this game because they can't score enough points. But to me, that's the thing I think going in you look for.
And it's the complementary parts. Randy Moss can do what he did against pretty much anybody. He can try to make those plays. I'm not saying he's going to have as much success against Sean Taylor as what was his name? Todd Worrell.
Cameron Worrell,
whoever he was.
Todd Worrell.
Cardinals, right? Third base? First base?
Pitcher.
Damn. You know, those guys, Randy Moss is going to make plays against good talent across the ball, Sean Springs, whoever it is. But Wes Welker and Dante Stallworth, can they do the same things against a good balanced defense where, you know, Rocky McIntosh is running around in front of Welker and then Sean Taylor's coming down? Can those guys make the same sort of game? Because that's been why this offense is so good. Not just because Moss is good, because everybody else has been better in their complementary roles than we thought they could be.
And by the way, has anyone slowed down more than Zach Thomas? Oh, my God.
Well, he's 111.
Right.
I know, but
he's hurt.
I just saw him, and then he got in a car accident. He used to always be around the ball.
The only guy I would say that might have slowed down more than him is Rodney Harrison.
Oh. Now that's terrible.
Teddy Bruschi.
Well, I figured we just put the dirt on him.
All right, there's no probably listener or emailer or caller in the history of PFW in Progress who's had more attention from his fellow listeners than Craig, and Craig's on the phone right now. Craig, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. How you guys doing?
Good.
It is Wednesday. It's a busy day. That was Gary Gudecki.
Wow.
Oh, Gary is getting a standing ovation all across the world right now from PFW
God.
Listeners. You should
have seen the emails we got yesterday.
Worldwide.
Screw him.
Oh, that's too bad.
Well, thanks for the call, Craig.
Craig had some good things to say, too.
One thing about that Redskins secondary that would have me concerned from the Washington side was something Bill said later in the press conference, talking about something. He said they play a lot of cover. They were talking about how physical they are and how they're good tacklers, which you need to be when you play a lot of cover two, and the Redskins play a lot of cover two. That generally, to me, means the Patriots are going to have a party.
And I'm also not sold on that. LaRon Landry's been at the line of scrimmage a lot this year.
Okay,
from everything
I hope so.
Well,
unless the Washington Redskins,
because
the
I want to see something
off,
different.
Well,
they have raved
with
about
Greg
him
Williams. That you will. Greg Williams
hasn't blitzed a lot. Andy and I were going to talk to Bill about that tomorrow at the press conference. Because Wednesday, you don't generally get a lot of time to get your questions in,
and you don't get an honest answer. You won't get an honest answer from Bill on Wednesday. You're better off Thursday, Friday. You might get a more honesty than you will at Wednesday.
Is Craig trying to call back?
Yeah, I hear the phone ring. Gary won't pick it up.
Papagino's Pizza, can I take your order?
Oh, absolutely.
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address, webradio@patriots.com. The phone number is 508-543-7482 in case you want to take your chances on the phone.
Yeah, that's true. You're taking your chances with Gary on that button.
And right now on the phone is Justin from Alaska.
You can have the whole
Justin, picture. How you doing?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, Justin.
Good. I got off work today, so your show comes on at 8 a.m. my time, so I have to take a day off if I want to call in. So I thought I would take that opportunity. And
all right.
Well, good for you.
Breakfast with
good
PFW.
Morning.
Yeah.
Good morning. Yeah. First of all, Tom, I live in the land of flu here, and everybody knows you don't get a flu shot because they're going to give you the flu. So
well, those stinking doctors, they use the diabetes as an excuse telling me I need one. I was fine until they stuck that needle in me.
Yeah, that's what it is. Anyway, Fred, the podcast, let me tell you, I'm on your side. I download this thing every single day, either via iTunes or the website. I listen to it on the iPod or my phone. Never a volume problem.
You know what? I think it's a setting on the people's download settings. There's probably something where they need to change. I don't know. But I didn't have a problem, so I don't know what to say. I try to replicate the problem so I can help them, but I can't. What else, Justin?
Well, a couple things just kind of coming to my attention. First of all, AD's comments, you know, he's new here. I don't think maybe he understands what to say, what not to say. But in reality, I mean, we got two young millionaires having a cat fight over the media. I don't think we really need to spend too much time on that. So I didn't think that was a real big deal. Probably the biggest thing I was calling about was, two things real quick. Number one, I want to make sure everybody understands that if Castle goes down, I know we were talking about this yesterday, hope there's no delusions there that this guy is going to be like a Bubby Brister coming in 98 and running the Broncos for us or anything. This guy's got zero experience, not even some college time. I think we were hitting to that yesterday. So if he goes down, I think pretty much this magical run, whether he's driving a Ferrari or not, is going to be over.
Yeah, I think we're all in agreement on that.
Yes.
Yeah. And I guess the last thing is, so obviously it's morning time here. I get my Fruity Pebbles. I pour them in a bowl. I grab my milk. And then who's on the back of my milk carton but Rosie Colvin?
Oh, he's missing.
Well said.
I want to know if you guys have seen him. You know, so I'm checking stats here, and I love Rosie, and, you know, ever since that game in Philadelphia when, you know, he went down to pick up something and then he couldn't walk, I always feel for the guy, but he's got 7 tackles in the Buffalo game, then he goes 0-3-0-2 for the rest of the game so far, and I just want to know, is he being dropped more in coverage, or are teams focusing on him, or is he just taking a break?
He's too busy correcting my grammar.
Yeah, he's looking over Tom's shoulder on the plane, telling him where to put a comma. But other than that, I think he has dropped in coverage more because and I don't know if it's him dropping more or if people are targeting him. You know, I remember we talked to Jeremy Green about it. He thinks teams, you know, should target him, that he is a liability in coverage. And since then, I've noticed a lot of tight ends releasing out. You know, he gave up that touchdown early in the year, backs running those wheel routes trying to get him down the field in coverage. So I don't know if it's the Patriots choosing to get him in coverage or if other teams are attacking him in a way in which they can get him from rushing the passer but more downfield.
Okay.
Well, but he has been absent. He certainly hasn't made any plays.
No, we haven't even seen him. You know, last year I would say that at least we saw him showing up in the pass rush. Maybe not with sacks, but he seemed to be getting the edge and hurrying quarterbacks right. A little bit. I haven't really even seen that out of him this year.
And he's even didn't speak today. It's Wednesday. That's usually a Rosie Colvin talk
day. Did he not? He turned all those guys down around his locker?
I don't think he spoke. I didn't. Yeah. He doesn't do that, then. I don't know what he's doing here.
Well.
Oh, okay.
All right,
well,
Justin.
I'll let you guys go.
Enjoy those fruity pebbles. That's, I like a good fruity pebble.
That was a good line.
All right.
I didn't know where he was going with that.
Justin from Alaska.
You all right, Frank?
One of our longtime, one of the original guys that actually gave us stuff. He was a, you know,
yeah,
the precursor.
Yeah, I need a new shirt. That's a good shirt.
I like my coffee mug.
I have a knife.
Yeah. Do you got a knife
from him?
He gave
me a knife.
How did he send you a knife?
No, we came.
He was here.
Yeah, you got the jam. Remember, I was the only one here the next day, so I got first.
You and I got screwed. We got the. They picked through it and then said, "Oh, Paul and Andy need something," and then we got whatever was left.
I got a T-shirt, but
A T-shirt.
Fred's getting like $100 knives that he can cut people up with. You see that thing? That's the thing on your desk, right?
Yeah, right.
That's not
it's a
knife.
Deadly weapon. Well, it's really not a knife. It's a weapon.
Well, it's a tool.
For
Eskimos use it for everything, for eating, for. For preparing food.
Everything.
No, it's a very useful tool.
And what do you use it for?
It's just an ornament.
Just an ornament?
Yeah.
Speaking of tools.
What do you got over there?
I might use it to cut salaries next year if you guys keep it up.
Hey. We were just going to cut Eric and then split
why
his
all
salary.
The hostility? Why all the hostility?
All right. Webradio@patriots.com. Guys, anything else before we take a break and get to emails? Anything we need to get out on the table for people to talk about?
I talked about the Brady Castle thing, right? Did I say that on the air?
No, yeah, I don't think you did.
I didn't say that, but Matt Castle began talking to the media today.
Yeah.
And a minute or so later, Brady came out of the trainer's room and said, "Castle, let's go. Let's go. We're working out." Yelled it loud across the locker room, and Castle was like, "Oh, got to go." Ran right off with Brady. So
they're kind of protecting him a little bit.
Brady said, "We got to work out. You're not going to slow me down today," or something. But he had so much ice on. I find it hard to believe they were going to work out. I'm guessing they went to the.
Brady had ice on.
He always does. He has a tremendous ice bag on the shoulder, down the elbow.
Good
the whole
looking
arm.
Ice bag.
Nice ice bag.
Good looking ice bag.
Yeah. You like Brady's bag.
Oh.
All right, that's it.
Okay.
Brady keeping an eye on his understudy after a tough week.
All right. Well, we got a lot of emails. Some other maybe news that we'll bring up when we come back here in PFW in Progress.
Playoff action is back in Foxborough. Once again, your New England Revolution have advanced to the MLS playoffs and are looking for a return trip to MLS Cup.
Drives it for him, and the goal! 1-0 Revs! What a huge tally for New England!
Saturday, November 3rd at 7:30 p.m., Taylor Twellman, Pat Noonan, Matt Reese, and the rest of the Revs take to the field in Foxborough, and they want you there to cheer them on to victory.
Takes a touch, and buries it! 1-0 Revs! The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet.
Individual tickets start at just $18, and significant discounts are available for groups of 20 or more. Bring your family or group, and don't miss a minute of this exciting playoff match at Gillette Stadium. Call the Revolution Ticket Office today at 1-877-GET-REVS. That's 1-877-GET-REVS to get your playoff ticks.
Get your ticks.
And get the Revolution.
The New England Revolution.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we gotta go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers?
Check.
Jerseys?
Check.
Checks?
Check.
Check card?
Check.
That's everything!
Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo! And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Miles and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
All right, welcome back to PFW in Progress. We're all here. It's a Wednesday. It's media day. Was there a big media crowd today?
Decent. I think it was a little bit smaller than a normal Wednesday because of the World Series tonight, I would imagine.
But a little bit smaller than it'll be next week.
Plus, it's the Redskins, and it's not a conference game and that type of thing.
Yeah, but...
Any national guys here?
No, but I think...
Tom Curran. Oh.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's a little bit of a shot at Tom Curran.
I think of Tom as a local guy. I'm sorry.
He's MSNBC now, right?
NBCSports.com.
Not MSNBC?
What's the difference?
Two different websites. Yeah.
And I'm not even...
They're both NBC, right?
Well,
They all have NB and C in them, don't they?
But if someone worked for ABC and someone else worked for ESPN, you wouldn't say, what's the difference?
It's kind of like people say Pro Football Weekly or Patriots Weekly. I get annoyed.
But I could say they work for Disney. And
especially
when
it's the IT people in our own organization.
Sure.
So he works for General Electric.
Paul Perillo of Patriots Weekly is here.
Right.
There you go.
Whatever happened to him?
I don't know,
but don't you have a news announcement?
No, I'm not sure.
You teased a big announcement.
No, it's not a big announcement. A couple little things. I have it from a very reliable source that it's official. It's not announced yet, but it is official. The Patriots game against the Steelers on December 9th will be moved to 4:15.
Okay.
From 1 o'clock.
Big matchup.
So that'll be a 4:15 game. It'll still be on CBS, of course, but that's the one game that we've heard of so far that will be moved from its original slot. I don't see really any other game.
Well, all the rest of them are already, as Tom pointed out, they're all night games already.
Right, and the Miami game's definitely not going to be moved. The Jets game,
no.
I doubt it. You know, so...
What do we have? The Giants? But
listen, nobody
Baltimore.
Cares about the spy.
Giants can't
crap.
Be moved because.
Giants, Baltimore, and Philly, right?
Right.
We have three night games already scheduled.
Right. So
So that's it.
Patriots luck out in that Steelers game. 3 hours extra recovery from that short week Monday night game.
Right.
I'm going to have to rethink my stance on that one.
Grasping any straw.
Theirs is out. Theirs is out.
I learned from you.
A couple other little news that came out of the last week from the league, the draft change.
We didn't really talk about that.
Tom, why don't you recap that, because I know that you're very interested in it.
Well, the draft is starting at 3 o'clock on Saturday now, and the first round has gone from 10 minutes.
No, I mean
from 15 minutes to 10 minutes,
right.
And the second round has gone from 10 minutes to 7 minutes.
Right.
And only the first two rounds,
rounds will be on Saturday.
Right.
Which is... is that good or bad? What do you think?
We should get out earlier, right? It's shorter. And
I think we're
going to
get
less round.
I think we're going to get out later now, both days. If you ask me,
right? I do too.
How are we getting out later?
Because you're starting 3 hours later.
But right. I thought you told me it cuts 3 hours off. You did the math.
No,
it would have if we started at
Fred
noon.
Fred is going purely by numbers. Yeah. What if there's a trade? If there's a trade, you get a new 10 minutes on the clock. It's not like if there's a minute left.
I know, but it averages
but
out.
That's, I mean,
because
I then
a lot of people don't
longer.
Use the whole clock. So
a lot of people
it all
do.
Comes out in the
a lot of that's why the thing
most
goes 7 hours.
The clock. Yeah.
If a lot of people didn't use the whole clock, it wouldn't have gotten over in 6 hours.
I'm talking about the later rounds. You know,
we're talking about Saturday.
We're talking about Saturday.
Right.
I think we're going to end up getting out later on Saturday, and we're going to get out later on Sunday because
so
now Sunday there's an extra round, even though it starts an hour earlier.
31 first-round picks times 10 minutes is 310 minutes. Whew, that's 5 hours right there. It's already 8 o'clock before the second round starts, and it's 7 for the second. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Another 210, and then the 3 hours.
It'll probably be close to the same.
It'll be dark.
On Saturday, but it's going to be, well, it's always late by the time we get out of here on Saturday. But well, Sunday now.
And that was Sunday earlier?
Yeah, and by an hour. But it's a whole new round. There's a whole extra round.
No, I know.
The only thing I'm wondering is, apparently, this whole thing is about ratings. Is that it?
I don't understand that.
I think some of it is for the L.A. people so that it doesn't start at 9
they
in the
don't
morning,
care enough to have a
noon.
Team,
they
but
don't,
we need
listen,
to cater to that.
I will
to watch
say
the
it
draft.
Again. People on the West Coast do not care about football. So if it goes to midnight, how's that helping ratings? People like Andy be in bed 3 hours before that.
Because they'll get someone, you know, in L.A. who wouldn't have normally watched. Well, what? To me, if you're interested,
there's too much stuff going on in L.A. They don't sit there
right.
and watch TV.
If you're interested in football, you're watching the draft.
Yes, regardless.
You're not watching the draft because of when it starts, if you're interested.
In my opinion, it's a very direct audience. You're not getting mothers and that don't really care about football. Let's check out this draft.
Right. No question. You can't get them.
It's a finite amount of people
yes.
that you're getting.
You
can't.
At
some point,
will
it gets
watch every
as big as there's a cap, in my
but
opinion.
But more
my
so
mind.
With the draft than other stuff.
Yes.
I can
absolutely.
Understand their whole Monday night
right.
thing. Trying
absolutely,
to draw in some
Andy,
woman who's flicking through. The woman flicking through is never, ever stopping on the draft, ever.
But what if we have Carrie Underwood singing between picks and Russell Crowe?
Please tell us we're not doing that kind of stuff.
Is she naked?
Fred,
you're not
is,
getting anybody extra.
This is the
I'm kidding, of course.
This
I'm
is the only thing I have.
The ESPN Monday Night broadcast,
right.
which I think they're just trying too hard to make it into entertainment tonight.
See, but they're in a can't-lose situation because just like the draft, if you're going to watch Monday Night Football, you're going to watch Monday Night Football regardless.
But they're obviously trying to do that to bring in other people, and I don't think it's working.
But do you think – let me ask you a serious question here. Do you think a Carrie Underwood fan is going to somehow be on ESPN when they say, oh, and Carrie Underwood's coming up, and then sit there and watch the game?
Well, no, they're expecting the guy to go, honey – Carrie Underwood's going to be on, and then
okay,
she runs
so say,
over.
So say your TV is one of those Nielsen TVs. Does it get extra points if your wife is watching?
What's that?
Do they get more points if two people watch instead of one?
I have
see,
no
that's,
idea.
Well, that's what I'm asking you, Fred. I just don't get
don't
it.
You, don't you go to those meetings?
This kind of gets back to, yeah, it's an offshoot of my whole advertising thing. I just think that the ratings, the things that they try to do, it's always they're always trying to improve, right? I'll give you a little case in point with the baseball playoffs, Fred. The first round of the playoffs was on TBS this year, first time ever, and by all accounts, TBS did an awful job. Okay, but they decided
I got a rant about that. But
they
go ahead.
They decided to start the games earlier,
and
thus alienating the West Coast.
And
but earlier, monumental increase across
right.
the board. All four of their playoff series first round.
It's
increased
like
20%
ratings or something. Wasn't
by
that ridiculous?
By a substantial amount. Then they go to the NLCS, which admittedly pitted two teams that probably mainstream America doesn't care a lot about, Colorado and Arizona. Okay, they start the games on an average of 10 o'clock, 10:30 at night. Worst ratings ever in Major League Baseball postseason history. So who are you catering to? Just let it be available to the people that watch your product. Instead of trying to garner all these extra groups in, just be happy with the amount of people that watch. Because for everybody that you gain on the West Coast, you're losing double minimum on the East Coast because you can't watch. I would have loved to have watched that. This Colorado thing to me fascinates me, how a team could be kind of muddling along and then just win 21 out of 22 games and be at the World Series. That to me is a fascinating story. But you know what? I couldn't watch any of the games because they were too late. All four of them, they were too late.
Well, I agree with you. The other thing, though, that bothers me, and I'm not sure if this is a New England or Boston thing, but you know, you said that the TBS broadcasts were terrible.
The announcers were terrible. They made all kinds of factual errors.
I know,
errors.
But what is it about this obsession with announcers?
Oh,
that's all you hear about is, you know, and no one's good. I mean, you listen to EEI in the morning, and no one does.
Well, they
right.
make fun of Tim McCarver and Joe Buck, and I think they're excellent. Especially Joe Buck.
I just know this fascination with the announcing crew. I mean, it's like half the time I don't even notice them.
I don't care.
Yeah. I don't know.
I dislike Joe Buck and Tim McCarver, but it has nothing to do with what they do. I just find them kind of.
I don't know.
Well, I think Joe Buck
smarmy.
See, I think Joe Buck is smarmy, but I think as a broadcaster, I think he's.
But do other towns,
point on,
do
right
other
on.
You know sports towns, cities
I don't know,
have
I never
that
lived
kind
anywhere
of
else.
Fascination in critiquing, you know, the announcers the way.
No way, Jose.
Oh, I don't know.
You know?
I don't know.
But I
just get the feeling like a lot of these guys want people to get fired because they figure trickle down, eventually they'll get a better job.
The TBS guys were making a lot of factual errors, and that's what they were getting criticized for. Plus, the production itself, the broadcast of the game from a production standpoint, they were missing plays. They were missing out. They would come back from a commercial, and the first out would already have been made.
Well, that's you know, not the announcers.
No, I'm saying it was the whole package
but that
of the
happens
announcers.
A lot.
Yeah, they've been really cutting
because those guys
close.
Try to squeeze in an extra.
Yeah,
ad.
They bring in, they come back in, and the pitcher's already in his delivery.
And that's because they're paying whatever.
Well, they're using that last
and...
10 seconds for the, you know, the little whatever they call it, the bumper or whatever for their own station.
But they're trying to get bang for their buck.
Yeah, exactly.
And they pay all that money. They're trying to get it back.
You know,
but that doesn't excuse making error after error as an announcer. Chip Carey, I guess, was really, really bad in the TBS series. He did one of the series, and I think it was the Yankees one. He kept saying the Yankees led the league in home runs, and they didn't. Milwaukee did.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's no excuse for continuously making
He was calling Ortiz Big
errors.
Daddy. It was just really bad.
Well, and
that's like me saying elk. On
Brady's
TV.
Feeling like Big Pat.
How many times did they confuse Steve Stone and the other guy? I don't even remember who the play-by-play guy was. They confused Ortiz and Ramirez.
Yeah.
They would say they're going to intentionally walk Ramirez to get to Ortiz. They
Manny
back the
Ortiz.
Other way around.
Yeah.
Manny Ortiz.
Yeah. It's like it was John Kerry or Ted Kennedy.
Right.
And drunk.
I just thought I'd bring that up. But what were we talking about with the Patriots?
We were talking about the draft.
Right.
The change in the draft.
Right. That's how it all started.
Andy and I agree, and Tom, I think, agrees.
TV ratings.
Trying to get the extra 10 people in L.A. to watch is going to sacrifice you a couple of 100,000 people in New England that won't because it's too late.
And
John in L.A. will watch no matter what.
Right.
As we speak, the Giants and the Dolphins are in London preparing for their game this week.
Another terrible decision. This Goodell's a real idiot.
When is that game?
Sunday, isn't it?
I don't know what time that game is being played.
Wait a second.
Like a time change?
So that's not even a prime time game?
Oh, maybe it's Monday night.
It could be. I don't know.
I'm not sure.
It's got to be, right?
It's this week.
It has to be a prime time game. Why? They're just going over there to play a game? That's weird.
That's not good enough?
I just think it's weird.
It must be Sunday night. It must be Sunday.
There's no Sunday
night
game.
Well, wait a minute. There's 6
hours. There's definitely no Sunday night game this week.
That's right, because the world.
There's 6 hours
ahead of us.
Wow, stupid.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know.
I'd be irate if I were. Well,
it must be a 1 in the afternoon
fan
game.
Who they don't care,
but if I was a Giants
night fan.
Right. The Giants are the one because they have a legitimate chance to be maybe the best team in the NFC, and they're on a winning streak, and this sort of throws a whole wrench in everything they're doing.
Although Tom Coughlin is, very excited about going over there.
I think he's playing good soldier. If you got him on, you know, if you got him off the record, or to be totally honest, he'd say this sucks.
Let's see. Charles says Gary is the greatest. Craig is the suck.
It is the suck.
because Craig called in earlier and barely got a word out of his mouth before Gary blew him to smithereens. So, you guys want to play a little kill game? Who would you rather kill?
Yes, I like this game. You guys weren't here Friday. We got a new game. Who would you rather kill?
Is it?
This is from Alejandro from Bogota, who runs the cartel down there, apparently.
It's not F, marry, kill?
Who?
It's not F, marry, kill. It's just kill?
Yeah, just kill.
Oh.
Okay. Let's see. Thanks to some listener called Ben, I'm going to jump on the who would you rather kill bandwagon. Who would you rather kill? One. First one. Joey Porter or T.O.?
Joey Porter.
Yes. Two, football expert Steve Young or football expert Emmett Smith?
Steve Young.
Really?
Emmett's likable.
Yeah.
He stinks, but he's likable.
Yeah, I can't kill Emmett.
Three, O.J. Simpson or Leonard Little?
O.J. Simpson.
Yeah. Four, USC or the U?
The U.
Why? I like them.
Five, Chris Ferreira or Ken Flanders?
Chris Ferreira.
Oh, hey.
Ferreira.
Why?
We couldn't get that one out quick enough.
I hope it's Flanders.
Nope.
No. And here's one last special one for Tom.
Person here.
Paul Hackett or Dave Campo?
Dave Campo.
That's good for you.
That's
I
an
like
easy
that.
One.
Okay. We like that game.
Yeah, that's a good game.
That's better than over and under or true or false.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, guys, this is James from England. Does the NFL really care about us poor losers overseas? It's bad enough that football starts so late on Sunday when we all have to work in the morning. Now they have to move the draft to later as well. They keep saying they want to improve the profile overseas. Well, that won't happen if the draft now finishes at 5 a.m. Yeah, but what are you going
to
do?
You start trying to cater to people here and there, and you're never going to please anyone.
Right.
I just don't understand. But
they say that the East Coast runs things. To me, they're always trying to do stuff for the West Coast. Screw the West Coast. You want to live out there, you get everything you deserve.
You take the pros, which is the sun and the hot women and all that crap, and you take some of the cons.
Yeah,
so you can't watch a Patriots.
Look at the pigs we got to look at,
right.
You know?
Well, they got sweaters on half the year.
It's better than that Friday night experiment that they were thinking about, I will say that.
That's terrible, in my opinion.
Well, one thing Craig does have is a sense of humor. He writes in, he says, "Thanks, Gary, you crack me up, dude. About the game, with our D maybe not putting forth a good full effort against the fish, Belichick's not a very happy camper. With Seymour coming back and this being a pre-Indy tune-up game, I fully expect the guys to dial up the intensity. Washington has fumbled 15 times already and are terrible on offense, gaining just over 300 yards per game total. The Skins' pass D rivals ours and might keep us under 40 points. We will run the ball at least 20 times. Maroney will break a big one this week as their safeties play back trying to defend the air show. Pats win 34-0, says Craig.
Wow. Shutout. It's a possibility.
I think that's a distinct possibility if they win by a shutout. I do.
We need
it's
some
bad offense.
We need some suffocating defense.
Well, they're going to need Maroney to get off a little bit, because I think Craig in his idiocy actually makes a good point there that I think teams are going to start playing back more now. You know the Colts will. The Colts will just run the four-man line, and they'll play everybody back. And I'd say let Maroney run, because we keep hearing about these big gains. I ain't seen any. So let him keep doing it until he shows.
They haven't had any. But I will say that I think there's a distinct possibility that they shut this team out. Because I just don't think, you combined a bad offense that's coming in with the fact that the Patriots defense has been hearing for 2 weeks now from their head coach about how they're the worst tackling team and, you know, they can't do this, they can't do that. This has all the makings and all the earmarks to me of one of those, okay, we righted the ship defensively when, in fact, it won't have told me anything.
It doesn't tell you anything because of the competition.
It'd be like that Tampa Bay game a couple of years ago, like 30. They could end up winning this game 31-0.
Yep. All right, web radio at Patriots.com. Dermot is from Dublin.
And he's drunk.
He says this is he needs a little gambling help, he says.
Okay.
It's not the only help he needs.
He says,
a little AA would hurt.
Gambling drunk. Those are always
the
nice
best
to hang
kind.
Out with.
He says, Ace, the living legend that is Tom Casale regularly has useful gambling info to impart. B, my gambling streak went horribly off the rails last week, 5-9 versus spread, causing considerable financial hardship. And C, Andy has noticeable prejudicial tendencies against my people and would probably give me poor advice out of spite. So I thought I'd ask King Tom which of the following he thinks I should bet my recent earnings on.
either.
I thought you were 5-9. Where's your recent earnings?
Oh, first of all, stop betting 14 games.
Yeah.
So. There's advice number one.
There's no way you can feel good about 14 selections.
I'm no expert, but I have to go with Tom.
He's talking college and pro, I hope.
Either 5-1 on the Pats going 19-0, or even money on the points on Sunday, 16.5 yet again as of today. So which one would he do? 5-1 on the Pats going 19-0.
Is USC an option?
Bet USC?
USC is getting points in Oregon, and this is kind of, to me, like a Patriots kind of game.
Right.
They're going to go in there. You know they're confident.
Right.
And they've been hearing similar things about, until last week, about their defense from Carroll, and they shut out Notre Dame. I got a feeling they righted the ship. Even though Notre Dame sucks, you get that kind of that confidence-building game.
Yep.
Oregon can't stop anybody. So I think USC, more physical, proves a point on Saturday at Oregon.
Better's dream. So USC is your play.
Yeah,
if you had to choose one, 5-1.
This game.
19-0 or 16.5.
I mean,
because you're going up
12
against
other games you've got to worry
you're
about.
You're going one game. You just need one game to cover, or you need to go.
Tom Brady could get hurt. Anybody can get. Who knows what happens?
And like we said, say that you're going to need 4 touchdowns to cover that, because I don't think the Redskins are scoring much more than 10. So
right.
If you can get like 28, 31 points, you're looking good there.
That wouldn't be – I mean, the defense is good, but, I mean, this team has been putting up in the 40s.
Right.
So if you hold them back a little and you're still in the 30s,
you've
got a good chance to win.
Tremendous show. With the projected winnings, he says, I should hopefully be able to buy back my kidney that I had to put up on eBay.
They didn't want the liver, huh?
Tremendous show as always, aside from Andy's relentless but occasional amusing interjections on the alcohol consumption patterns in my native land. P.S., just in case you're wondering, gambling is entirely legal over here. Yes, it is.
Didn't care either way.
Right. let's see.
Yeah, we cast no judgments.
Yeah. Except about drinking. You're drunk.
Yeah, that's the other thing, too. Now, are you drunk when you're making
right.
these selections? Because
that's the big thing. Make the selections before you start drinking.
Yeah, now I was big on that.
Apparently it would be before you were born.
I was big on that. You do not drink and gamble, because that's worse than just gambling,
well,
which is pretty bad
itself.
You
gamble, and then you drink to, you know, hide your anxiety.
Yeah, but if you keep making decisions, I mean, drinking makes your highs higher and your lows lower, and that's not good when you're gambling.
Let's see. John in L.A. has some serious issues with Brian Lowe's wardrobe. Patriots today.
I have serious issues with Brian Lowe.
But I think this is important to read. He says, does Brian Lowe buy his shirts for Patriots today out of a 10 for a dollar bin at Shaw's? Do they come with a free pair of pre-owned flip-flops? Hey, Brian, I know you're doing the whole Bob Lay long-lost son thing. But at least Bob wears a tie. Newsflash, you're on the air. I mean, it's gosh darn ridiculous or whatever.
Ridiculous.
I wouldn't wear that shirt to do yard work in prison, which is not to say the guy doesn't make a fashion statement. I'm just sure the statement is, mommy buys my clothes by the pound. What can we expect in the summer months? Brie, gauchos, knee socks in the spring for those chilly April nights? I kid Brian
What is he wearing?
I don't know. I've never seen the show.
I kid Brian because I love him. But if he wants to usurp the rumored romance between Christina Acra and a certain Kool-Aid drinking running back, he's going to have to dress better than me at an eighth grade dance, clad in topsiders, wide whale cords, and an Izod knockoff circa 1983. You guys kick a little something, and I'm pretty sure it's ass. Don't let the bitches and douchebags get you down, you bill washing batch of peckerwoods.
That was a good email.
John in L.A. is solid.
Yeah, that's a good email.
Are there rumors?
There is now.
What's the Lawrence Maroney rumor?
Never heard it.
Well, she went to Lawrence Maroney's house and did a little piece on his crib.
So what's that?
Did he get a little piece?
Well, now the people on the message boards are trying to say that, you know, they're going out now.
Are they?
No. I don't think so.
Would she be fired if she did?
I mean, in all seriousness, wouldn't she be fired
That'd
for
that? That'd be good for ratings.
Fred.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Put that in another file of things Fred Kerr should not say.
It's good. It's all good.
So Lawrence, she wouldn't be fired if she was...
Maroney. I don't think so, no.
She's getting Lawrence's Boney Maroney?
And I'm not saying that she is. She's probably not. But if
probably.
She was, that's another black eye for women journal. I mean...
But she isn't.
If you're going to just sleep with all the guys...
Right.
That's
it
not
kind
true.
Of
but
ruins
I'm guessing,
your credibility.
Right.
AKA Kool-Aid.
But that's... You know what the... That's the battle they face. Everybody assumes she did an interview in his house. Well, I must have, you know, showed her the bedroom.
Yeah. Speaking of Christina, let's see. Alex says, Alex says, hello, Peckerwoods. Is Christina Acra really hot, or does she benefit from sharing the screen with Paul and Brian?
Oh.
I'll say it again, low volume on the podcast. What makes the Washington defense so good?
Players.
She's pretty hot, by the way. But I've never shared the screen with her.
Oh, you're never on with her, no?
No.
She sits in the wings while you do your thing?
I don't know where she is.
No?
Apparently at Lawrence Maroney's house.
She gets the hell out of there?
Riding the bone Maroney.
Thomas Dion informs us that the game in London is at 1 p.m.
Makes no sense.
Yes, it does, because that's 7 o'clock there.
It doesn't make any sense. I thought they were going to do it, so put it on prime time or
so
do whatever.
The only people that are going to watch it are the people in Miami, and it's just a regional game?
Yeah, but they're trying to get people in London to watch. What difference does it make how many more people watch that game in the United States?
I guess.
I mean, I'm with you guys, and the whole idea, I think, is this globalization thing, overrated.
I just thought it was some kind of prime time.
Patriots.com/Chinese.
I wholeheartedly agree with you guys on that. But they're trying to expand the footprint of the league globally.
Maybe they should have sent a team other than the Dolphins.
Let's just say that the amount of people that watched the Patriots-Cowboys game a couple of weeks ago, they double that with this. That doesn't really help them globally.
True.
You know, they're trying to get people in London to be interested in the game, and therefore they're putting it on at 7 p.m. in London.
Right.
I think that makes sense.
This just in said Tom Dion, New England just scored again. Very good.
Very good.
Matt and Quincy, I emailed you around the time of the draft and said that they should change the time limits to 10, 7, and 5. You guys said then that it might be a problem with trades and whatnot. I wasn't sure what you meant at the time, and Tom just repeated it. Sounds like you're saying that if the Patriots are on the clock and they're down to 5 minutes and they make a trade, the clock resets itself. If that's what you're saying, I don't believe it's true.
It is true.
I believe the clock just continues on for the team that is now drafting.
Either way,
this is a good move, completely undermined by the 3 o'clock start.
It doesn't, but the trading doesn't add any time because that was the way they did it with 15 minutes.
Right.
So we're still subtracting time by knocking it down to 10.
If you're trying to figure out, like Fred was, by multiplying, this is how much he didn't add in the trading. So
yeah, but
it's three trades.
But I wouldn't add in any trading either. I would take what the average first-round time is, which is somewhere around 7 hours or 6.5 hours, and I would subtract it by 5 minutes because it's five less minutes on average for a pick to be made than it was before, whether that's 30 minutes with a trade being at the last hour both ways or 15, it's less now by 5 minutes. So I think you're saving time, regardless of how many trades. I mean,
as he said, it was ruined by moving it to 3.
Right.
I say it approaches six hours.
Right. So you're going to chop an hour off the round by taking 5 minutes per team away.
Right.
Well, no, the first round is at 7 hours.
Roughly.
No, last year's was the longest first round ever, and it was 6:30-something.
So you're taking 30-something minutes away.
Well, no, because not every one is 6:30. That was the longest one ever. They average around 6 hours.
I would guarantee that in my time here, in my 9 years, they've never had one below 6 hours.
I bet you that they
have. I'll guarantee that.
Okay.
Bet something.
Because I can almost get. How long have you been here?
9 years.
Forever.
Oh, I guarantee you. Guarantee you that they had one less than 6 hours.
No.
Someone do some research out there. Strippers.
Now you're going to get these emails coming in. You know, Craig will be calling back or something. You just don't.
Well, we want to know the answer.
We don't want to go down that road.
All right. Let's see more NFL news. Michael reminds us from Montreal. I heard a report that the NFL is planning to move the Pro Bowl to the week before the Super Bowl. I think it's a terrible idea. The two teams that make it to the Super Bowl will likely have many Pro Bowlers, and it's pretty certain they will all skip it to focus on the game ahead.
You think?
I understand no one watches the damn thing
now.
Bill,
it's me, Tom. I'm going to go play the Pro Bowl.
You're all right. But at least when it was after the Super Bowl, some players on the two best teams would go. Your thoughts? P.S., how's the us-against-the-world mentality holding up in the locker room with all the media praise? Must be harder and harder for Bill and his veterans to keep them humble.
That seemed pretty easy last week. They were cranky after getting chewed out by the head coach.
It's now it's not the praise that's binding them together. It's all the criticism that's binding them together.
Who's criticism?
What criticism?
Oh, are you kidding me?
Well, I mean, I think the emailer's point is that the praise has been universal.
Oh, they can't use the no one respects us anymore. Now it's everyone hates us.
No, that's the Colts.
Right.
Now it's everyone hates us.
Anyway, I think what the Patriots are doing, and I think Belichick is doing a great job. He did it again today. he's picking out three or four things. Red zone defense today, he mentioned again, and how pathetic it's been. And these are the words that he uses. The tackling. He talked about Miami running its offense in the second half of that game. Andy, how did he put it? They just ran their offense, and they did a better job of it than we did stopping it or something like that. I think that he's doing a good job of picking things that are – he's right.
Right.
I don't think they're huge deals.
The second time around, that'll be – we were outscored in the second half of that game 21-7.
Right. Hey, we were just holding on in the fourth quarter. When they when they play the Patriots and when they play the Dolphins again in Foxborough, we'll hear 21-7 in the fourth quarter.
And I'll go, Paul, I know I don't remember things like you do, but wasn't that game over?
Yes. I think that Bill does a really good job of focusing on three or four negative stats and really pounding them home. And if he does it with us, you know he's doing it tenfold to the players.
Well, speaking of what the media is saying about the Patriots,
evil.
We have a lot of emails about Greg Easterbrook.
It's a well-written story.
In his story about
did you read it?
How the Patriots are the evil team, the Colts are the good team, so on and so forth, and it's really outraged a lot of Patriots fans.
See, I thought it was kind of funny.
But why would
his
you,
other
you
think one it was supposed was to be terrible. Somewhat satirical?
Yeah, and also my gauge on this, Chris Ferreira, superfan Ferreira upstairs, the webmaster who can't control the audio levels on this, so I'm not sure you can hear me right now, he wasn't, outraged about it. He thought the guy made some points, was having fun with his whole – he started with a premise and then just used everything that's gone on to fit that premise. But this one I thought was well done in what he's supposed to do, sort of be different, quirky, funny. The other one, when he said they were going to destroy the league, I thought he was trying to be serious.
But
and it was
why would you care? The Yankee fans don't care. They're the evil empire.
Right.
They like that.
Right.
You should want to be that.
Couldn't agree
with
you more, Tom.
You know, that means you're on top. Nobody hates the Cardinals. And Patriots fans should know best. I mean, this franchise was garbage.
Right.
I'll even say, I'll take it a step further with you. I couldn't agree with you more. The Red Sox have always been the lovable losers, okay? They were always second best, and it used to drive me crazy. Okay, the Patriots, we weren't even considered. That's how bad that was until Belichick and Brady came. Now that the Red Sox are so good, people think of them like they think of the Yankees. They hate us. And you know what? I think it's great.
Right.
I'd much rather be a team that everybody hates rather than the Cubs now. Everybody loves the Cubs. Well, that's great.
Right, right. We're no longer darling little team anymore. And a lot of our emailers, like Ari Sky from Herndon, Virginia, goes and actually picks out all the things that Easterbrook said and then says, well, the Colts did this. Guys, and I'm talking to my nation here. You guys don't have to listen. Don't worry about Easterbrook. I mean,
oh, absolutely,
it's just, don't worry about that stuff.
I agree with you,
Fred. Because he knows that the Colts do stuff, too.
But he's kind of right. The Colts, they have Manning. They have Dungy.
But Polian is the biggest whiner in the world. I mean,
absolutely.
He is, but...
But what he does is he... It's like anything else. You gloss over what doesn't fit perfectly into your little fun
thing. When
that
guy from Sportsline, I forget who... Was it Glazer? I'm not sure. A couple years ago, wrote something, dropped the Patriots down in his power rankings, and everyone just exploded on him or something. And he got inundated with...
Prisco.
Got inundated with emails. Easterbrook had the same thing happen to him 2 weeks ago. So now he's rolling with it.
But the only thing
he's going
I would
with say, it, so don't let him get to
and they're falling right into his trap.
Exactly.
But that's what if you're a Patriots fan right now and you want to, you should be focusing. Like, look at the record books. Start comparing what you think your team's going to do. Like, enjoy the most ridiculous show you're seeing right now.
That's the thing. I don't think they enjoy. They're too busy complaining and nitpicking. Sit back and enjoy the show. Who cares what they say?
Grab
they can't
a beer,
stop
grab a
you.
Soda, watch the game, and go,
wow.
I
agree with the boys.
I have
here,
to break in for breaking news. Mike Reese is reporting that Richard Seymour is at practice.
There's a shock. Eric isn't.
What's Eric Scalavino reporting?
Once again, Eric is up.
Richard Seymour likes to play the flute with his
Eric is upstairs not letting us know this pertinent
Thanks,
information.
Thanks, Eric.
Thanks.
Well done.
Why? Why isn't Eric at practice?
I'm sure he was out at practice, but
he's
I'm sure he's
not allowed to
now.
Be out there forever.
Oh.
And when he comes back in, doesn't he pass by here?
Maybe he's updating the site.
Doubtful.
Useful.
Maybe. Wow. Okay, we got a lot of emails here. Gary, we're going to take a break. We'll get to him right in a minute.
Playoff action is back in Foxborough. Once again, your New England Revolution have advanced to the MLS playoffs and are looking for a return trip to MLS Cup.
Drive the forum and the goal! 1-0 Rams! What a huge tally for New England!
England. Saturday, November 3rd at 7:30 p.m., Taylor Twellman, Pat Noonan, Matt Reese, and the rest of the Revs take to the field in Foxborough, and they want you there to cheer them on to victory.
Takes a touch, and buries it! 1-0 Revs! The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet!
Individual tickets start at just $18, and significant discounts are available for groups of 20 or more. Bring your family or group, and don't miss a minute of this exciting playoff match at Gillette Stadium. Call the Revolution Ticket Office today at 1-877-GET-REVS. That's 1-877-GET-REVS to get your playoff ticks.
Get your ticks.
And get the Revolution.
The Women Revolution.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we got to go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo! And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
When you got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it. Jamarcus Russell was the first pick. Detroit takes another wide receiver, and the Dolphins don't take Brady Quinn. If you're having trouble figuring out the NFL draft, PFW's Tom Casale has the answers.
I think both guys at 24 would be stealing. And they're not falling like rocks. That's all internet crap. There's no way Branch is going to be there at 24. None.
With the 33rd pick in the NFL draft, the Cardinals select Alan Branch, defensive tackle, Michigan.
Well, he was right about Corey Dillon and Lawrence Maroney, so let's talk running backs.
Round 3, Chris Henry, the running back of Arizona.
Listen, we should talk about him. This guy stunk in college. He's an upright runner. Now all of a sudden he's got a nice physique. He goes and runs a fast 40, and everyone's thinking he's going to go in round 3. Forget about it. Round 5 at the earliest.
With their first selection in the second round, the Tennessee Titans select running back Chris Henry from Arizona.
So if your mock draft has scribbles all over it and you're convinced the guy in Miami misheard Quinn and wrote Ginn, you're not alone. And don't worry, there's always next year, and Tom Casale will be there to break it down.
At 15, I think that's where you make the move, because those teams should all be interested in
him. So if he's there at 15, you trade for him.
You got it.
What's the trade?
I don't know how to work out trades. I'm a scout. I'm not Pioli. His job is to take care of that kind of thing.
PFW in progress.
I just don't understand football, I guess.
That is a great skit.
Boy, it makes you kind of like want April to come faster, huh?
So we can laugh at Tom again?
Well, wow. Now I'm really anxious to see what time we get out on Saturday, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Well, let's see. Somebody actually had
we got the numbers?
Some info on that.
Can we just do our show from 12 to 3, Fred?
Let's see. Oh,
but you know what? In Tom's defense, Chris Henry stinks. He's the guy that said should have been taken in the fifth round that Tennessee took in the second round. Well, he's a fifth-round talent.
Okay. Keep talking.
Evidently, Fred didn't want to talk about that anymore.
No. I found the somebody had info on the draft, and now I lost
Justin
it.
In Alaska.
Justin? Where? I don't see his email.
Oh, for Christ's sake. Apparently has wireless with his breakfast.
The 2000 draft was completed in 5 hours, 36 minutes.
Oh, there you go.
He reads it.
There was one. Good job, Fred.
You can't.
There's one that was less than 6 hours,
Tom. You
can't
read
it
like that, Gary. You have to put a little emotion into it.
Because I noticed the last couple years they've been getting longer.
How come I don't have
that? Well, I think they're closer to 7 than 6 now.
Who cares? We now know what it said, Fred. Stop looking.
Was there anything else in his email?
Luckily, they're going to be shortened a little bit because they'll be down to 10 minutes.
Huh?
Huh?
Talking to Gary.
Start looking for a different email now.
The way I see it, we get out at midnight.
Right.
That's how I'm.
The way I see it, they shut the lights off in the press box, and we get.
That's the way
back.
I'm looking at it, Tom. Is we're going to get out later than we used to.
Jimmy in Orlando says, "Afternoon, bitches. Isn't it great that all the fans out of state can watch the Pats at home? Unfortunately, with all the negative press and the media putting the soap opera spin on the Pats, with he said, she said, and the latest spin that Bill is evil and Dungy is an angel crap. I almost miss when the Pats had no press." But if it moves them to the national spotlight and I get to watch them, I say keep whining, bitches. What? That's it? No comment?
I'm not sure what negative. Greg Easterbrook writes an article. Right. He's the press.
This is like, and they were talking about this morning. And on Sunday, Terry Francona had the manager of the Red Sox had a comment in
called Tito yesterday
in the Boston Herald, Tony Maz's column, and he's talking about one thing that I don't like, and he was sort of complaining about it because it's just they're so negative here and they're so unhappy. They just talking about Red Sox fans, they're so unhappy. To which I would say, who exactly are you talking about as a Red Sox fan that's unhappy? And I'm not saying that no one's unhappy, but don't you think that's a little silly to be painting with such a broad brush? This is the most extended, successful period of time in Red Sox history since 1918, okay? There is nothing. No one's unhappy in Red Sox Nation. People are very excited about the team. They have a chance to win the World Series every year. It used to be they had a chance to win the World Series once every 10 years, 75, 86, that's the way it went. 67, 75, 86. Now it's every year you have a shot.
Right.
Fred's not happy.
No one's unhappy, except for Fred. No one's unhappy about the Red Sox right now.
Well, they want you to just bow at their feet. Come to all the games. Subscribe to everything we do.
Don't say that Jacoby Ellsbury should play center field instead of Coco.
Watch all 162 games, but don't ever form an opinion on your own.
Exactly.
You do what I tell you is right.
And I think that some of that is with these Patriots fans right now.
Don't you think that's stupid?
They're talking.
If you're going to praise the passion, the fact that you show up every Wednesday night, you come to a game against the Devil Rays, and there's 37,000 people there.
Screaming.
Well, those 37,000 people are going to form opinions on players,
Andy's
ideas,
exactly right.
The team.
So what's the point?
Kurt Schilling.
Tito doesn't want any negative. It's all too negative.
Kurt Schilling talked about how the crowd in Game
we'll
6 and 7
in LA, you chump.
Were a huge factor in how they really carried him through every inning, every half inning. They're up, in between innings with standing ovations, and that really helped the team. They got a palpable lift from the crowd.
Right.
You can't have that and not have, we think Ellsbury should be playing over Crisp.
Right.
That's what Francona wants. He wants you to be excited, but he wants you to just be a blind lemming and not say
so
that you
should make any
changes.
So you lobbying for the firing of Tito Francona?
Not at all. But I think there's an element of that where Patriots fans are hearing Greg Easterbrook and saying there's a lot of negativity around the team, whereas these guys told me they watched the Monday night game between the Colts and the Jags, and they could barely got a word in about the Colts or the Jags.
And all this
it was all about the
that's
Patriots.
In this town sucks.
It was.
So that's what people are talking about.
And
people
we used
are talking
to complain
about
it.
Loser Patino.
We used to complain about it when the Patriots didn't get enough respect.
Exactly, and that's not the case anymore.
We're getting plenty of it.
You got to revel in this. What I say is embrace the cheating moniker. We cheat, and there's nothing you can do about it because we're going to come in, we're going to rape your women.
No disrespect.
We're going to take your belongings. We're going to pillage your village, and we're just gonna lay you to waste. And there's not a damn thing you can do about it because we're the New England effing Patriots, and we're the best, and that's it. And embrace it.
Surprised
that's
he caught himself there.
I like it.
You know what? You know, sometimes on the message boards or people underneath their thing, they have like a little saying, and it'll say like, you know, Bill Belichick.
It should be that.
Someone's going to have that. It's going to say Fred Kirsch, Patriots Football Weekly.
Formerly of Patriots Football Weekly.
They're going to rape your women.
I think it was Steve Gutman, you know, when in the infamous press
Belichick.
Conference. I think what we heard here is a man in turmoil.
We've seen.
I think that's how. I think when we look back on it, that's how it all ended. That's how it ended for Fred Kirsch. We're going to rape their women.
Everyone hates us, but it's too bad because there's nothing they can do about it. Because we're going to come in there, and we're going to take what's yours and make it ours.
Speaking of raping women,
women.
Eric.
Eric actually did come in.
The legacy,
Eric.
It's 15 minutes late.
Did I miss something?
I can't hear you.
We already know.
Reese already reported it.
Well, sorry.
Where the hell have you been?
Appreciate the fact that you came
don't
in.
Don't you have my phone number?
If you gave me the...
Weren't you the one who said, let's collect everyone's phone number so we can get in touch with each
Tom
other?
Tom wouldn't give you the wireless card?
Yeah, that's
I don't have it anymore.
I don't
you
have that
took
wireless
it from me.
Card. We had to give it back to you.
I have it.
I had to give that back to you.
You know what Skype is? You know what Skype is?
S-K-Y-P-E.
So Richard Seymour's out there. How do you look?
Eric's here. Eric, what's going on
Troy Brown? Practice?
Full pads practice except for Richard Seymour.
Oh, then he's not really
well,
there.
Well, he had shoulder pads
and
a helmet,
really
but he
there.
Had just like the long sweatpants on underneath. So obviously he's not going to go full bore on the first day back, you know, full contact or anything like that. It doesn't appear.
What about Troy Brown? No?
No Troy Brown. The two Jacksons. We're back again.
So let me, you know, I don't want to get, before we get on to anyone else.
Yep.
The fact that he wasn't fully dressed, does this constitute
a practice?
I believe
that starts the window.
Yeah, he's practicing.
Okay, so this is it.
Right, 21 days.
Right, okay, right. I just want to make that clear.
Right, yeah, right. He had the shoulder pads, the helmet.
Okay, so the clock is ticking now. Okay,
yeah,
Eric, keep going.
So, where did we leave off? Oh, yeah. No Troy Brown,
yeah.
Obviously. But,
Eddie Jackson.
Eddie Jackson, Chad Jackson, both of them fully suited
okay.
up.
Okay, right.
Another interesting note, Eugene Wilson, not there.
Oh.
That was really interesting.
But, they cut him?
No, actually, that was really interesting, Gary. That one, I like to play along with your little thing, but that was interesting.
Yeah.
Usually he doesn't bring it, but that's interesting.
So
not out there, yeah. huh?
No, not out there at all.
Other,
release?
Wasn't
other
in the locker
players,
room.
I think they just released them?
No.
Mel Mitchell, who we did see in the locker room, not out there. And then the usual, the last couple of weeks, Sammy Morris, Eric Alexander, Benjamin Watson.
So we'll have to,
you
got less interesting. Let's get back to Eugene
Wilson.
No,
we'll have to keep an eye on the injury report.
Now, when they activate
Seymour,
did they have to make a roster spot?
Well, when they put him on the roster,
right
now he's just practicing, they would, but... I would be stone cold stunned if they just cut Eugene Wilson.
Right.
Yeah. My guess is
Rashad Baker's
the
name you might think of to be that casualty. But
how good is Eddie Jackson?
I might be buying that name.
Is Wilson still starting?
No.
No, he doesn't start anymore.
We'll talk about this Eddie Jackson guy.
He hasn't.
But yes and no.
When they go, you know, he's
the first
part
play
of the
game. I mean, that's like Asante Samuel didn't start the first game.
Right, but they've gone a couple weeks, 2 weeks now with the
But
Sanders
he's played every bit as much as Harrison and Sanders. He just hasn't been out there for the first play of the game.
Well, not according to Mike Reese's numbers after watching the game.
Okay, what are the numbers?
I don't know.
All right.
But I saw the phrase, interesting that, ... and he played a third of the snaps that James Sanders did or something. Significant number less than James Sanders and Harrison, the two starting safeties.
Maybe
although,
there's something to it.
So he did couch that by saying Merriweather played later in the game when maybe in a more competitive game Wilson played. He could be banged up. Do we know that he's not banged up?
No,
seemingly
always hurt.
Groin and hamstring injuries that he deals with, so it could be an injury issue. But like I said, he definitely was not at the Domino's table today.
Nope, he wasn't in the locker room,
which is his home. Which, you know, his home being the Domino's table could lend you to the theory maybe they cut him. His home should be studying.
Anything else, Eric?
Yeah, just sort of a kind of a read between the lines kind of thing. Normally every week they dole out black jerseys to two or three guys who had a great week of practice the week before, gave them a good look on special.
None this week?
Not a one.
None this week.
Not a one. So,
see, those are the things that I think he's doing, Fred.
Yeah, keep him
to
humble.
Keep everybody,
yeah.
To keep everybody.
They can't tackle, and they blame Ray Ventrone.
I was going to say they had a pretty bad week of practice. He only led 42-7 going into the half. They weren't ready.
Not enough. It's like Teen Wolf. We got league scoring records at stake.
All right. Okay, so good stuff.
Yeah, inside today, the practice was indoors. It's not really raining, but it is overcast, a little inclement out there. So they were in the bubble.
Documentary.
Yeah, he got more boring as he went along.
Wow.
You started out.
You should have stuck with Richard Seymour,
you know,
Eugene Wilson.
Eric, you know, don't listen to them because
I think
the fans want
this
info.
Doing a great
bottom
job.
Line is just make sure you come with us when you have this type of news.
The fans want this info, Eric. Don't listen to them.
Do you walk to practice or do you drive?
To the bubble, you have to drive there.
They're
what about
jaded.
Regular days?
Regular days, walk.
Oh, so it's easy for you
they're
to
jaded.
Check in on those
Shut
days.
Right.
I think the fans want to know that they're inside.
Why?
Fans don't care.
Yes,
that.
They do.
They care
fans,
about Richard Seymour.
Back me up here.
They
you want to know
Richard Seymour. About Richard Seymour and Eugene
and that's
Wilson.
They want to
know where Eugene
with.
Wilson is.
Right. But
that's
don't,
what he let
no, let's
off
not
with.
Get mentally irregular like it matters where they practice.
It does matter.
The Adalys Thomas stuff, you can include in, too?
He
responded to Ray Lewis.
Okay. We'll talk later then.
It's on. It's number three on my
on your
on the A folder.
On your device?
Paul's hit list.
Okay.
Number three
on the
A folder.
On the A folder.
You probably, you know, can check elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I bet you he already has it done.
Okay.
That was Reese's blog.
They definitely didn't hear you the first time. You whispered.
All right.
A whisper on a whisper on a whisper.
Oh, there's
nothing.
There's the there's that little thing with the offensive lineman that we noticed today. The little
You have
wanted
anything
posted.
On that?
Well, tried to. Matt Light feigned. I don't know. I shouldn't say he feigned. He legitimately looked like he didn't know what was going on. There were posters in the offensive lineman's lockers that said "Wanted, dead or alive." Matt the Imposter Light.
Really?
And went on to list a whole bunch of alleged grievances that he had committed.
What
against
were they?
Human. I didn't read all of them. I didn't get a chance to read them all, but I'm sure they'll be up. You know,
I wanted to read them, but I didn't feel like I could get close enough to really read them all without looking creepy in the guy's locker.
I didn't
want to be like B-Lo.
Yeah.
I felt the same way.
So I did ask Russ Hochstein what the deal was with that.
And he wouldn't answer.
And he had the, you know, the sly grin and was like, oh, no comment. And
he had
I
the why
know.
Can't I be the director face
yeah,
on.
Right. But Matt Light promised that once the culprit surfaces, he's going to have retribution.
Really?
Which leads us to something I said.
Why
the chemistry
the
on this team is the best it's ever been. Best chemistry ever. I saw Stephen Neal today joking with Dante Stallworth. Neal had some sort of challenge he wanted to pose to him athletically, something he didn't think Stallworth could do and Neal could. The Lua Moss.
You know who the Stallworth is. He's the Tom Casale of that crew. He'll take any bet. I think they figured that out. They're like, you know, he's stupid enough to take that bet. Because it was something about a basketball.
Yeah.
I saw Neal.
Yeah, and
the,
Neal was like gesturing. Like it almost was like you got to do three flips and dunk it through or something.
You know, and it's funny because you're right, Tom, because you know that Stallworth is looking at it. It's like he didn't even know that he's like a world-class wrestler.
Right. Yeah.
You know, he's just like, he's just some dumb
bulky
line.
Touch his head to the ceiling in the locker room.
Something like that.
He can do something ridiculous.
He quite possibly could be in top five athletically in that locker room.
Yep. But remember when we did, I want to say we might have done like pre-training camp, like questions heading into camp. Can all the pieces come together? Will there be, you can put talent, but will it be a team?
Right.
What a joke that was.
That went
perfect.
I haven't
seen it. Somebody was telling me about it.
It's Adam coming into the ESPN studios. He has to go through a metal detector.
Taking off all his rings.
He has to take off all the rings.
Right.
With Jim Kelly watching in the background annoyed.
Yeah. wearing his Hall of Fame jacket.
Wearing the Hall of Fame blazer.
I love that. That's great. That's really funny.
It is a pretty funny
Did you see the one time when he loses the rock, paper, scissors?
No.
He loses to
Jim Kelly.
Jim Kelly loses it to a mascot with rock, paper, scissors.
The blue one, I think, that's behind him in line in that commercial.
Yeah, I think that's who it is.
I love how they just have the mascots like randomly
placed.
Delivering
the mail or something. Great commercials.
They are good commercials. It's good that they love themselves so much.
Okay, well, thanks for the update, Eric. Eric just back in from practice.
That was Fred's way
indoors,
of saying,
by the way.
Get it, go away.
Get the bleep out of here.
You can shut that mic off now.
Let's see. Back to some of these emails here. Webradio@patriots.com. Gary from Syracuse has a couple questions. He says, one, will the Red Sox being in the World Series help, hurt, or do nothing to the Patriots?
Do nothing.
Two, can the Patriots continue winning without a running game?
No.
And is,
not according to Rod Woodson.
And is Lawrence
– I think they can.
Is Maroney the real deal or just a flash in the pan?
Well, he hasn't been a flash right now.
He
hasn't been a flash
Maroney
since like a year ago.
Really hasn't flashed.
I think he's the real deal.
I don't think he's the real deal.
It's funny. Like 3 weeks ago, you said something totally opposite.
That's what he does.
What did I say?
In private, of course. Never on the air.
I do not think he's the real deal. I think the real deal is like 1,500 yards. I think we thought he had that type of talent. I don't think he has it.
I think he's
anymore.
Good. I think he's good. I don't think he's great, and I don't think he will be great.
He's good. I will be calling him a bust.
Here's the thing. Is he going to be one of those guys that gets 800 yards and splits carries? Because if he is, then he's a bust.
He's a bust.
Well,
if you drafted him in the first round to be a stud running back.
That's a bust.
I drafted him in the first round to be 1,300 in an average year.
If he's not a 12 or 1,300
in a breakout,
guy, that's a bust.
I want double-digit touchdowns, all that, and I don't think he's going
to
get
especially in this offense.
Right.
You know, I know he's been injured, so you have to give him a little.
Yeah, we know he's been injured.
But I'm saying when he's here, he should be breaking off big runs. This team's got defenses have to defend the pass. Yep. There should be openings there.
By the end of the season, you'll be changing.
Sammy Morris found him, and you know he is not supposed to have the talent.
Is he a Patriot in that whole Tom Brady works harder than anyone mentality?
We're working on that.
Who's
we? Did we just go from opinion to what you know?
Who's we?
The Patriots.
Oh.
Let's see, he knows when the game has changed.
We are all Patriots.
Yeah, we know when the Steelers, but some of us don't have any impact on how the play is improved. Yeah.
We know when the Steelers game is, and he says, we're working on that. We know what Felger would say right now. Somebody you talk to.
We are all Patriots.
That's right.
Actually, that's not who I was referencing.
Let's see. Clint from Omaha says, I've heard all the hype about the Colts and how they played a much tougher schedule than the Pats. I don't know if I believe the hype. Their defense seems to be playing well, but they have hardly played offensive juggernauts. Here's a review. The Saints, I think we all know they aren't any good. Titans, close game, but hardly a star-studded offense. Texans, not the same team without Andre Johnson, who didn't play. Denver Broncos, inexperienced QB. It didn't slow the run at all, 222 yards. Tampa Bay Bucks, did you watch them last week?
Is this Clint Scholes?
And Jacksonville Jaguars. Who is better, Matt Castle or Quinn Gray?
I'm pretty sure Clint Scholes sent an email earlier in the year saying it was unfair that the Patriots had this hard schedule. They had to open up against the Jets, a playoff team, Chargers, a playoff team.
And I'm just going to say, where's the great defenses the Patriots have played against? Because we're saying that the Colts defense hasn't played anybody. Who's the Patriots offense
I'm
played?
Really sick of this crap.
Because the Cowboys can't stop anybody. The Chargers can't stop anybody. The Bengals can't stop anybody. The Jets can't stop anybody. The Bills can't stop anybody. And the Dolphins can't stop anybody. So there's my argument. The Patriots offense hasn't played anyone. Next question, Fred.
But at the same time, I've watched what the Patriots offense has done, and I'm fairly confident in the ability of saying,
right.
I think they have a pretty good offense. I don't need to see them do it against the 85 Bears to say, I think the Patriots are pretty gifted offensively.
What happened?
I don't understand what that means.
Was it the internet? Was it fantasy football? What happened where now all of a sudden we have to go through it? Use your freaking eyes.
Right.
I think one of the reasons we all got these jobs is because we can use our eyes to watch football and figure out what's going on. Stop giving me the 220 yards,
now,
blah,
would you
blah,
say,
blah.
Fred,
information age.
Would you say the AFC South with Indy, Jacksonville, Tennessee, and Houston is a decent division?
In today's terms, absolutely.
Would you say it's better than the AFC East?
It's probably
the best in. I would say it's one of the two best divisions in football.
Yeah, yep. Relatively speaking.
Okay.
Yes.
So they played the other three.
Never say yes.
No, that's fine.
In today's day and age, relatively speaking,
the Colts
who
haven't
agree that
the NFL stinks.
I do agree with you on that, Fred. But we're using this day and age.
Exactly.
I think it's
so. Are the Patriots good, relatively speaking, in this day and age?
The Patriots would be good in any day and age.
That's what I thought.
That's what I figured you would go with.
Oh,
that.
And you don't think so?
I don't know. I don't qualify everything I say.
I just speak facts. Okay.
No, you don't.
It's not opinion. It's a fact.
Facts through your little rosy fraud Kirsch glasses.
That's a fact.
That was an opinion, but you can't have a fact on that because you don't know what happened.
But it's fact.
Okay. Now, anyway, the AFC South,
this
Fred,
is a good Fred day.
Fred, as an AFC South, as you would say, is a good division. Well, the Colts played all three of the teams in that division, all on the road.
No, I know.
All on the road, and they beat them all.
I'm giving a lot of love to the Colts this year. You guys don't believe
me. But I don't think there's a lot of other people. Like this guy's saying, I'm sick of the Colts hype. I haven't seen the Colts hype.
I think the Colts defense might be playing better than the Patriots defense.
I think you're wrong about that. But
I've been
I don't
impressed
think there's a
by
lot
them
of hype.
Since day one of this year.
And wouldn't New Orleans be comparable to San Diego? A team that everybody thought going into the year was going to be really good, and at the time, they weren't really good.
Well, no. I think even at the beginning of the year, I think you have to say San Diego was a better team than New Orleans.
But they haven't been.
Right.
No, they haven't.
Right. Just like New Orleans.
Right.
Almost everybody had the Saints in the Super Bowl.
So
I think almost everybody had San Diego also as
I understand that, Fred. Right. You're right about that. Yeah. But Patriots fans are saying San Diego's a great win. New Orleans stinks.
Right, no.
To me, it's the same thing.
Right.
It's a team that was supposed to be good that wasn't.
Yeah.
I think San Diego's better than New Orleans by a lot, as a matter of fact. The fact of the matter is they both stunk when they played.
And I've always believed this, and you guys have argued me. I don't think you can judge the merit of a win until after you really know who the team is that you just beat.
See, but I think San Diego could win the next 10 games in a row, and it doesn't take away from the fact that
they
stunk that
night. Didn't mean they played well
that
night.
That was a bad team that they played that night.
You might long-term be able to say what the team has for talent, but it doesn't change the way they played in that game. A team with a lot of talent can play crappy. A crappy team can play better than they are.
That's what I'm saying.
Let's see. Pratt is from Germantown, Maryland. He says, let's do the Tom Casale soundbite. You know why?
That's what he doesn't have it anymore.
You don't have it anymore, Gary?
He says it 52 times a day.
But you know why?
I just noticed on FoxSports.com under the Patriots page, it says that Eugene Wilson will be replaced by James Sanders opposite Rodney, keeping Wilson for nickel packages.
Will be or has been?
It says will be.
What was that on?
FoxSports.com. I really haven't kept track of who is back there, but apparently Wilson hasn't been playing too many snaps. What is your assessment of Wilson so far, and is the lack of tackling ability leading to this decision?
Yes.
If you guys were to put your money on one player to come back, Stallworth or Moss, who would it be? Stallworth or Moss?
Moss.
Okay. Interesting.
Eugene Wilson hasn't started the last few weeks, but he played. And he played a lot 2 weeks ago. May have played more last week had the game played out differently or whatever. But he certainly hasn't become a...
And if he's still on the team, he'll play a lot in Indianapolis when they play the Colts.
Right. You made a point yesterday that
I agreed
with. I
think tackling. Bill has been harping on crappy tackling, and we all feel very strongly that James Sanders is one of the best tacklers on the team. So is it a coincidence that in a phase when the team is struggling to tackle, Eugene Wilson's not playing as much and James Sanders is? I don't think it's a coincidence. And apparently James Sanders has gotten better in coverage as well.
Well, the whole thing
about Eugene
Wilson,
deep downfield more often than I'd like.
The whole thing about Eugene Wilson is you never had to take him off the field. That was his thing. He played corner at Illinois. You know, he could play safety, and then when you went into the nickel package, you could stay on the field.
But he hasn't been the same player.
Safeties don't generally leave the field in nickel packages.
Well, but that's the thing. But he could cover as well as
the only time
that was the issue is he could be a nickel back as a corner.
He could you could use him on a slot receiver, but the only time a defensive back would come off the field would be a short yardage situation.
Well, that was the thing about Eugene Wilson is that he could play both positions.
Trouble is now he hasn't made plays at any of those positions. I don't think he's a great tackler. I think he's lost all his confidence. That's my own opinion, is that you see him, when he sees a ball carrier or a pass coming his way, he's now, like we talked about with the Colts, trying to not screw up rather than be aggressive and take a guy's head off or go up and make a play for the football. I think he's lost all that confidence.
Mm. Yeah, and I said earlier in the year that since I've been here, he hasn't showed me anything that he can play.
First two years were great.
He misses
the last
tackles.
Two years stunk.
That's just since I've been here. And I've seen him on TV before I got here, and I thought he was phenomenal.
He was getting
so
fined for taking people's heads off. He was picking off passes and run. He hasn't done it since. And, I mean, you got to think he's healthy, right? You can't just always say, well, he had the hamstring. He missed all of last year, basically. That hurt him there. But now he's out there every week, and he's just – he doesn't have
you
that.
You kind of keep waiting for him, and it's not coming.
But it's not like he's coming back from Rosie Colvin. We say, well, maybe he's not the same player. He had a career threatening. He's had hamstring type injuries. They shouldn't be career ending or style changing in terms of the way he plays. I think his mentally has lost it.
Hasn't played well. I think this is the end of his Patriots career.
Jeff in Carrollton, Texas. What's happening, Peckerwood Football Weekly? So does the latest start for the draft mean 3 more hours of Mel Kiper before the draft? And who thought it was a good idea? I didn't get to watch the draft on the NFL Network last year. Is their coverage any better? Surely it can't be worse. Maybe this is Goodell's attempt to destroy ESPN's coverage by adding 3 extra hours of Mel Kiper before the draft starts. Kiper is going to need the extra long-lasting gel this year. Well, you know what? This is interesting.
I don't understand.
I don't get it either.
Fred's on to something here.
If now there's more important stuff of the draft happening around 7, 8 o'clock at night, maybe he is trying to cut into ESPN's time, because they'd have what, April? They'd have
nothing.
The NFL draft.
They were on at 7 or 8
o'clock.
No,
they'd switch to ESPN too.
So what?
Well, I think this might have something to do with it, Paul.
I don't. I think it's as dumb as your idea yesterday to have a fantasy draft of Fred. Paul, listen to this. Fred wants to have fantasy leagues. If you want to draft a rookie, you have to draft him regardless of where he gets picked on draft weekend. You have to draft him that Sunday morning. So if you want a wide receiver, you need to draft him, despite not knowing whether he ends up with Byron Leftwich or Tom Brady.
Now, I was trying to figure out. Don't listen.
The wheels were turning.
I was trying to figure
and
out.
Boy, was there smoke coming.
My premise here, Paul.
For instance, on the ride home.
Try to look at this objectively without fathead over here.
I'll try.
You know, and I know the original fathead.
You're right. I love what he
Should I sue them?
I really love when you get under his skin.
No. My point is, or my premise is, that the same people who play fantasy football, a lot of them, are the people who watch the draft. So let's try to figure out some way to make the draft more interactive with fantasy football, such a huge thing. Try to take advantage of that and work something to do with the draft with the people's upcoming fantasy teams.
And he said, and it doesn't matter what team they end up on to the fantasy people.
No, it does.
Tom and I both said, what? Right?
there is a big difference.
I know, and I didn't say it wasn't.
So why can't you just do that after the
draft? That's fathead over
here. But I wanted to have the same data, to increase involvement in the watching
of
the show.
But wouldn't that stop them from watching the draft?
No, you got to work it in.
Again, we keep trying to find ways to add, and I just don't think there are anybody left out there to add. I think that you've capped off what you're going to get.
China.
Jeff, so is this...
Besides, of course, that budding Chinese market.
Is this Redskins...
2 billion of the...
bleepers.
People.
Paul's like the little shoemaker on the corner of Everett, and then when Walmart comes in, he's like, "Oh, why do we need big things?" And he just goes out of business.
What does that
because
have to
he has
do
no
with
progressive
anything?
Thoughts. There's not like
Fred,
a progressive thought in his mind.
You're telling me that the NFL is on the verge of going out of business.
When it's time to do stuff at PFW, so what did we do last year? Oh, okay. That's what we'll do this year.
Uh-oh, this is going to get ugly. This took a turn for the worse.
He's getting red.
I just think your analogy is flawed. The NFL is not about to go out of business.
No, I know, but they will if they don't. You're either going forward or you're going backwards.
And
you're
I think that some of the decisions that they're making recently are jeopardizing them going backwards.
They could.
If they want to take the Super Bowl and put it out of the country, I think in the long run that will hurt the product.
They could.
Not help it.
They could. I mean,
sorry for having an opinion.
No, but they could. But you got to do things, Paul. You can't just sit still.
Why? Because why can't you just improve on what you're doing?
Well, how do you improve on what you're doing if you just sit still?
Not going globally.
Well, I don't. Maybe you're right, but you got to do things. You can't just sit still.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
That's what I said.
Let's see. Is this Redskins secondary one of the more big or physical units they'll face all week? Maybe this is the first week the Pats won't cover, but I doubt it. Is this the first time that a team with a winning record this late in the season is a double-digit underdog? I can't remember another instance of that.
I don't know if double-digit, but definitely over two touchdowns. I mean, you really don't see spread 16, 17 that often, and we've seen them every week now from the Patriots. So,
I do think it's as big and physical a secondary as they've seen, though.
Yes.
Yeah.
Especially the safeties, obviously.
No question.
Okay, Ray and Raymond, New Hampshire, Fred.
Ray and Raymond, New Hampshire, Fred.
I watched you for the first time last night on Neckin. Good show, but you all need a wardrobe and a little more sun. And who's the dude in the suit? As far as selling football to Europe, it's the equivalent of trying to sell soccer here. It's not happening.
Word.
Well, you might not want to tell him that, Ron. He'll get mad at you. If you're not
Walmart's going to crush you.
Yep.
Let's see.
Doesn't everybody hate Walmart now?
That Major League Soccer is going to come and crush you.
I'm off Walmart. The Target.
Oh, Target's much nicer.
Phenomenal.
Except you can't return stuff. Deidre got into big fights with them trying to return
stuff. Oh, I return stuff all the time.
Gave her all
kinds
of
problems.
It's
your wife, man. She's got problems.
She's bitchy at times, I think.
She's buying $300 cat water dishes.
$300 water dish?
No, it wasn't. I don't know. I actually don't know how much it cost, but she went to get a dish and came back with a thing that looks like a blue flying saucer that has this big blue dome, lights up, filters the water, and then sprinkles the water down the dome so the cat just licks the side of the little blue dome.
Oh, my God.
I thought we were going to get, like a bowl or something.
Yeah, I just get a bowl out of the cupboard.
I was going to say, sometimes you just use the cereal bowl that you never use.
Well, what she had before, it looked like the water coolers. It was like a little one upside down, so it would, you only changed it once a week. And I kind of thought she was getting another one of those, and I'm pretty sure that one was like $4.99, $5.99. This other one, you plug in, makes a noise. It hums. It has filters that need to be changed monthly.
Wow.
Cats get better water than I get.
I was going to say, that's way, you know, I'm an animal guy. That's way too much.
And the best part of it is,
water.
I'm pretty sure the cat's scared of it. I've seen the cat eyeing it and not going anywhere near it. It's probably drinking out of the toilet
it's
upstairs.
It's going to die soon.
Carrie has, she's very upset with us.
Okay.
She says, trying to keep this lighthearted, but it is so hard for a Patriots fan who happens to be a woman to listen to your broadcast. Will you ever talk about women in terms other than being hot, naked, or ready and willing to jump in bed? Since none of you are women, take it from me. It is very demeaning.
Well, they can cook okay, too.
Well, this is that whole thing with knowing your audience. See, we only got about three or four of you, so you're just going to have to suck it up or go elsewhere.
The only girl
likes us.
You're the one girl. You
we
know,
apologize for
England.
Anything offensive.
You get one game a year.
We're only kidding. It's all in fun. It's all in fun.
Yeah,
we make fun of guys, too.
We're guys. Right.
I made the comment about Carrie when you said Carrie Underwood, and I said, was she naked? Yeah. No, so well, I apologize
and
for that.
And Tom has talked about men he'd like to bend over.
That's
so,
true.
You know, yeah.
He loves
I can go either way.
Right.
Oh, God.
Craig from Virginia. Historically, we Pats fans have looked at the regular season game against the Colts as a critical as it could decide home field advantage. The Colts have had their share of winter problems here, and we have used power running. I don't think home field matters this year.
This is another one we'd rather play on the road.
Right.
We don't have a power running game. Brady playing in perfect weather conditions with our speed on offense on that fast track is making me drool. Let the debate begin.
Well, I'll just say this for the last time. I was in that dome last year when they were down 21-3, and those fans had a hand in them coming back and winning that game. If that game was in Foxborough, they're down 21-3, say goodnight, get on the plane, it's all over.
We were to the point we were making fun of the fans because we were saying, sit down, it's over.
Yeah.
What are you so excited about?
Put your jersey away, you hick.
And they just kept screaming and yelling, and before you knew it,
they won.
They came back. There's no way that happens in Gillette Stadium.
Can I add to my list of, you know how it's easier to lose than it is to win?
It's easier to win at home than on the road?
I'd much rather play at home than on the road.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure every player in that locker room feels the same way.
I don't think that the Colts have a prayer in hell of winning a game in the playoffs in January in Foxborough. I just don't.
Nope.
So
I also think the Patriots would still score points and move the ball. I just... Unless it's some ridiculous, you know, it's 32 below with a wind of 75 miles an hour, something.
Yeah, they're more used to it, yeah.
Brady's
played a number of games in bad weather.
They'll all come back, so instead of it being 35-32 Patriots, it'll be 6-3 Patriots. I think the Patriots are better.
Let's see. Dan says, what's up, Peckerwoods? Being in Virginia,
where
Redskins games
really
are broadcasted as often as possible, no matter how many other premier matchups are on in the same time slot, I've been able to see a lot of their talented defense. I thought for years that London Fletcher was one of the most underrated linebackers in the league, and this year he has really solidified the middle of the defense in Washington. Having played in Buffalo the last few seasons, what has been your impression of Fletcher? And just for laughs, did anyone notice the blockbuster acquisition Miami made this morning? Lance Schulters has been signed back to the squad. What? That team is really garbage.
Why are you surprised that you live in Virginia and they're showing the Redskins?
I know. Anyway, what do you think of London Fletcher?
I think he's a nice little player.
Oh, come on.
I think he stinks.
See, I don't. I think he's a nice little player and on a good defense. He's a fine little linebacker.
He
runs around.
He needs pieces around him. He's not going to be a guy where you just say,
Wes Welker.
I think he's all right.
He's Wes Welker of the defense.
I don't think he's as good as Wes Welker.
Wow, you really don't think much of London Fletcher.
No.
Did he drop the Baker?
Evidently.
Everywhere I see now, it's just Fletcher.
Really?
He only had that for like a year.
Really? Well, that's what I don't get. When you add it and you drop it. What?
I don't know.
I think that should be illegal.
Name.
Andy Awesome Heart.
Well, you're going to go with Fred Curry
Jake Steele.
Right. Let's see. Henry's our guy in Norway. He says, Gary, thanks for blowing up Craig again. I didn't catch the show yesterday.
Jake Steele.
The first PFW episode I have missed. Anyway, I was watching Monday Night Football and listening to Tony Kornheiser talking about how good the Patriots and Brady are right now. And then saying, don't forget the Colts and Manning and stuff like that. Is it just me? Have the Colts become what the Patriots once were, and the Patriots is now the Colts what the Colts once were, if you know what I mean? It used to be the Colts this and Manning that. And by the way, don't forget the Patriots are pretty good too. Now it's the other way around. I don't mind it, though. Just think it's interesting. What do you guys think? I think the difference is, I think it's reversed a little bit, but back in the day, it was Colts this and Colts that, but nobody even said anything about the Patriots.
Right, when they were number two in the power ranking.
Right. They didn't give us respect back then. At least now they always back it up by saying, but don't forget about the Colts. But back then we were an afterthought.
Right.
It was always Steelers.
I was gonna say, I know you don't believe this. You're just saying,
no,
right.
No, it was always Steelers and everybody else, never the Patriots. Yeah, right. We never got respect. We still don't get it now.
We're raping women, and we're taking villages, and we're pillaging.
Please stop.
That's it.
Please stop with you. We still don't get it now.
We don't get the right type of respect we deserve.
Please now it's the right
now,
type of respect.
Now, you know, yeah,
that just might have made
now,
my commentary.
Yeah,
I thought he was telling you to stop saying
yeah, we
about
won.
The raping women.
Yeah, we won, but it's tainted. Yeah, we win, but we cheat. You know, yeah, we win, but they pile up the score. Yeah, we win, but Belichick's a jerk. It's never, yeah, they're just great.
Fred,
period.
Let me ask you a question.
This is unbelievable.
Let me ask you a question,
always
Fred.
Have to
Fred,
put us down.
Let me ask you a question.
What?
You ever go to a Dallas Cowboys message board?
No.
You ever go to a Philadelphia Eagles message
board?
Yes. You have?
Yeah.
Because they're complaining about the exact same crap that all the
Patriots
Well,
they should. Fit. Those teams don't win.
I'm saying every fan base complains that this
I'm
guy
I'm not talking about
this,
the fan base. I'm talking about the media. I don't care about the fan base.
But all media is the same.
You heard it
all
here first.
Fans
Fred
are
Kirsch
the same.
Doesn't care about the
no,
fan base.
Fan base have a right to criticize
Fred
their
Kirsch,
team.
Fred Kirsch, he doesn't care.
So does the media.
Yeah, but that,
that's actually
you know
their
what
job.
I'm saying. Listen to you. And D, he says, I agree
well
with you 100%.
Well
I love
put.
It when they bitch and complain. I remember the 80s. We were the scabs of the NFL. I'm enjoying it while it lasts.
You should.
So you're telling me, Fred, if I go back to the 90s and stuff, I won't find any media slamming the Cowboys or the 49ers. They just said this is all great.
No, but they always just say they were great teams. Period.
They do now because it's
oh,
over.
Back then, too.
No one says the Patriots are great. Chris Mortensen
always
said after they won the Super Bowl, and I quote, this may be the greatest
right
team of all time. That's not good
but
enough
But Belichick's
for you
a jerk. But they run up the score. And they cheat. You know. Well, and Vince Wilfork's a dirty player.
Maybe if you,
you
didn't
know
do those things, people wouldn't be able to
oh
say
yeah
it
right. Come on.
Maybe if all those other
oh
things weren't
come
true
on. Everything but Patriots.com.
Well, I mean, just look at it a little bit before
but
you
whine.
But
they do it with the other teams,
of
too.
Of course they do.
I mean, they talk about the steroids with the Steelers. They talk about salary cap cheating with the Niners.
Of course
snorting
they do
coke with the Cowboys.
Right. There's a butt. There's
Matt,
always a butt.
Matt from Queens, New York. Some Dolphins players were unhappy about the Patriots throwing with a big lead Sunday. Quote, everyone was disappointed with the lack of respect, Chris Lewinsky said. It's a kick in the teeth and lacks some class. Enough said.
Who's Chris Lewinsky?
I don't know. That's what he's asking, too. Who is Chris Lewinsky?
I never heard of him before. Was he on the – he played?
Don't know who he is.
I thought that was the concussion guy from Harvard.
Yeah, that's what I knew the name sounded familiar. That's Chris. Yeah, isn't that the guy?
It's Chris Nowitzki.
Oh, and Monica Lewinsky.
He's a guard for the Dolphins.
Oh. Much like her, he probably. Can't say anything on the show anymore because Gary gets mad.
Josh from Boston says, I think it was Monday Night Football against the Bengals. It was the first week Lawrence Maroney was out and Sammy Morris was in. The announcer kept calling him Kevin Falk. Just another example of the announcers not knowing what's going on. P.S. ESPN is terrible. Bill Parcells' strategies to beat the Pats was terrible. He just kept saying, you need to stop Brady and Moss. So there.
I think Bill Parcells,
I think Parcells is
good.
Is excellent.
I think Ditka's good. Although what I've noticed on that show is it's sort of like our New England cable news show. Their technical aspects are starting to get out of whack. I saw Chris Berman looking down at his notes, just staring there,
yeah,
waiting
I
for
saw
it to
that
go to something.
Berthany from Lake Worth, Florida says, I want to know what players are practicing and where they're practicing. Keep it coming, Eric. So there.
Why do you care where they're practicing?
There's obviously a reason why they either go indoors or outdoors. They think
yeah,
it's
when
important.
It rains,
you think
they
I'm
go
a pretty
indoors.
Big football fan?
They think it's important.
Fred, you think I'm a pretty big football fan? I don't care.
You're not a big fan. You're a football fan, but
I'm
you're not a
fan?
Patriots fan. You're not a Patriots fan.
He didn't ask
what's
you.
I said, do you think
that?
I'm a football
fan?
Right,
but the people who listen to this
all right,
does he
are
care where
fans
the Cowboys
all right,
practice?
Does he care about where the Cowboys practice?
Yes, you do.
No, I could care less.
Oh, yes, you do. Don't
I could care less.
Oh, you're a liar.
How can you say
Fred,
that?
I don't care if they're practicing
you,
on the moon.
You
it's
care
raining,
what
so they practiced
do
indoors.
You
that's
care
just, you know, normal.
Tom
you
wants
care
to know if Wade Phillips is still leading the practice.
So
if so, he's upset.
If I cared, nice. Fred, wouldn't I go to DallasCowboys.com every day?
Do you do, don't you?
No, go to my computer. See if it's – type in D and see if DallasCowboys.com.
You go to those message boards.
Type in the history.
Once in a while.
Ignore those other ones.
Okay. Type in Mexico steroids.
Well, I hope I hope I keep you busy enough where you don't have time to go
I
to
I only
Dallas
care
Cowboys
what happens
website
on Sunday. That's it.
I don't care if they're practicing in the bubble. Well, I don't sit there and go, boy, you know what? They're practicing in the bubble today.
The fans that listen to this show obviously care more than just Sunday because they're listening to this show. And we need to cater to
our audience. But you don't care about the fans.
And that's why,
don't matter about
and that's why
base.
We wanted to tell them who was practicing, the PUP guys, all that stuff is very important.
And that's why they also want to know where they were practicing.
One guy said he wanted to know.
Okay, all right.
It's raining and they're practicing indoors. Bulletin.
Look, on behalf of the Patriots Football Weekly staff, I apologize for the lack
of sympathy.
You're
the one who said you didn't care about the fan base.
I'm talking to the fan base right now.
Well, you don't care about them,
Fred. I apologize for the lack of sympathy and empathy that these people are showing to what you want to find out about your team.
Don't apologize.
I apologize.
I will always try to give you as much
you.
Information as I can because I know that nothing is too little for you.
I'm just telling you.
But meanwhile, you can't hear it on your iPod because Fred said everything's okay.
John in his mother's basement.
You shouldn't apologize to Andy, Tom, and I because
Fred,
we're not the ones that alienated the fan base like you did.
Fred, you're besieged today.
You know what? These guys.
I don't know what that means, but
see,
if it
John,
means crazy, you're right.
I work among guys that are working for their next job. So that's the problem.
I agree with that.
That's the problem I have.
Not me, John. No one wants me.
I can't get my resume out quick enough.
Didn't the Boston Herald already have you, Paul?
Yeah, right. That's my point.
Right.
They didn't want me back.
I opened my door one day, John, and there was Paul in a little basket, and I had to adopt him.
I was
just left him on my doorstep.
My little tin cup.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Well, you know what? I'm not going anywhere. I've been here for 15 years. I think I'll stick around for a little while.
Now, John,
no one wants you either, huh?
No one wants me either. That's exactly right. Not even my wife.
I was reading some of the emails that came into your show yesterday, and a lot of people are outraged about this Greg Easterbrook.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I brought it up, and I realized that I'm sort of my honest opinion on this is that, you know, well, I believe Gary has a drop to explain how I feel about Greg Easterbrook. Do you still have it, Gary?
He's
playing solitaire.
Now he's mad at us.
Now he's scratching his head like a gorilla.
No, but my advice to our fans was to just ignore Greg Easterbrook because he's obviously rolling with it right now.
Oh, sure. You know, first of all, you know that Easterbrook, and I said this on the show yesterday, Fred, and I think you guys know this as well as anybody, he's an instigator. That's what he does. That's the job that he has. That's one of the reasons why ESPN.com has employed him as a columnist, and I think he probably felt, and I don't know what happened.
Screw him!
Yeah, there you go. There's the drop I was looking for. You know, when he was writing for NFL.com, I think that it may have been that he didn't take such a pro football stance, and so maybe he thought it, or maybe someone else thought it for him, that his opining would be better off served in another entity like ESPN. So that's why they hired him, and that's the same reason why you have columnists to write slanted opinions, or you go off the deep end on some things. It's to create some controversy, it's to create some conversation, and it's to get people to read you above all else.
Right,
I think that's exactly what he's
done.
And
when your readership is declining like his was, there's no better way than to get the Patriots fans on your back because they will inundate you.
Absolutely. I tell you what, I told people that listened yesterday, I said, look, if you really have a problem with this guy, then inundate him.
Right.
Send the emails. I don't know if anything will ever come of it. Yeah. I don't even know if he'll acknowledge that. But the fact is that my main problem with his column, the TMQ, the Tuesday Morning Quarterback column, for those that may not have seen it yet, my main problem was that some of what he had to say bordered on slander.
Well, you know what? This is going to come off like kind of weird, but I kind of like Easterbrook. I've been reading his column for a number of years now. I find it pretty interesting.
That's because you don't care about the fan base.
He goes off.
Screw him.
He goes off, from football a lot and gets into science fiction and all that stuff. And I've always found I found it kind of interesting. I think what he's doing right now is just it's a hoot to him. He's really, sticking the needle in Patriots fans, and no one knows his name more now than ever because of what he's done, and it's the same thing. Like I said, Pete Prisco did a couple years ago.
Yeah,
Yeah,
there's some definite validity to that. But again, when you consider what he wrote, to throw Tom Brady up there like he doesn't care about charitable organizations, and to throw the Patriots in that bucket when we have our own charitable foundation here,
right.
I just thought that was grossly unfair, and I wouldn't be at all surprised if somebody somewhere sent him a letter to remind him that by the way, we do some good things around here, and we're not all evil as you would portray us to be.
Right. Well, and I don't. I think that he doesn't actually believe that. But anyway, it really he did the job. It got the Patriots fans united. And
sure
nothing is more dangerous than a scorned Patriot fan.
Fred, you know we all play better and we all perform better when we have a chip on our shoulders around here.
That's right. That's right. And Paul
we all do.
One. Paul was born with a chip on his shoulder. So that's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. We'll see you tomorrow, Thursday. We'll do our picks. Stay tuned for John Rowe. Stay tuned for John.